So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go.
Well, it's Friday.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
That would be the pointless information part of the show. Yes, I always love when somebody on the radio or television goes, it's Friday.
Yes, I'm going.
Wednesday, it's hump day. I'll try to make the show more important and entertaining after this. At 6:11, here's what's coming up today. Well, we've got Lou Manfredini back from his latest vacation. I don't even know where he went, do you?
No.
Okay.
Mexico, Sandberg says.
Duncan Keith. Is Duncan Keith on, or are we just giving away tickets?
No.
Duncan Keith will not be on. Normally, he's so effusive when he does an interview. You know, he's verbose.
You can't shut him up.
Come on, Dunk. I got to go. Dan Hampton later, John Weideman later, speaking of the Blackhawks, and Paul Conrad later, who doesn't play for the Blackhawks. All of those people will be on today. We'll play match game today.
Yes, love the match game.
Might play it twice, and tomorrow night we will be live in Arlington Heights at the Metropolis doing stand-up comedy. The great Larry Reeb and John DeCoste, me, Tim Benker. Going to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be a funny night. Johnny, tickets left for that?
Yes, actually, and you just go to metropolisarts.com or call the box office directly. It's going to just be a night of stand-up comedy. All fun.
Hilarious.
Yes.
I'm kind of surprised that's not sold out. What happened?
I held back tickets.
The idea, you understand, is to sell all of them.
Yeah, but I was like, let's do this at the last second.
So people would be calling in. You go, try us later?
Yeah, I prefer when we get walk-ups.
Do you want me to pretend to scalp them outside the venue?
Oh, yes.
That way it looks like...
video. That would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We got a cool cookbook today. Rival gang members. Guys that used to be gangbangers, you know, previously, been looking at killing each other. Have become chefs, and they've combined to write a cookbook. There's a story you didn't see coming.
No, that's a cool story.
So they will be on coming up as well. All right, let's do the top six.
Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Hi. At 6:14, here's how we do it. Item number one, the government is not shutting down yet. Midnight tonight is the deadline, the bare minimum, the basic function of government is for Congress to pass a budget and a spending plan for the government. This is now how we operate.
Yes.
Every quarter we have to go through this, wait till midnight, maybe we'll pass it, maybe we won't. There's less drama in a middle school amongst a bunch of girls in a hallway.
Oh, and that's drama galore.
And then there is with the babies in Congress who continue to play around with your future.
Steve,
it's ridiculous.
This is a 4-week spending plan. Come on, 4 weeks.
Yeah, they've really laid it out there. So, but it's not approved. It approved in the House. It's not approved in the Senate.
Correct.
And the Senate doesn't have the votes. So we'll see where it goes from there. By the way, the president is going to leave for Mar-a-Lago today. The president who runs the government is going to leave for Mar-a-Lago today.
Mm-hmm.
Busy week. Government shutting down today.
Busy week. Mar-a-Lago's not shutting down.
I guess that's why he's leaving. Next. Amazon headquarters contenders for headquarters 2 do include Chicago and the governor and the mayor have reacted by poking at each other, which I'm sure will be very welcoming for Amazon.
This was crazy. There were like dueling news conferences yesterday. So you see Rauners, who basically was saying, like, Amazon, don't come here. He was talking about the corrupt system and, you know, why would they want to come to it? Why wouldn't they go to a place like Washington where they don't have an income tax? And then Mayor Manuel, a few minutes later, had a different press conference saying that it would be helpful if the state was pulling with us.
Yeah, I don't understand Rauner's. Do we have audio on that?
Yeah.
Okay, give me audio on that, will you? We don't need it right now, but find it for me.
Okay.
Next. Pritzker, Kennedy, and Daniel Biss. Going to square off in a live stream Tribune editorial board throwdown today. They're going to sit around with the people upstairs at the editorial board and talk about why they each are more qualified than the others to be governor. I know what you're saying. Pins and needles. Mm-hmm. Next. Prince William shaved his head.
What?
Prince William shaved his head. Have you seen the picture?
No. The sides?
No, the whole head.
Whole head.
The whole top was already bald.
He wasn't going bald well. You know, it's an unfortunate bald. You know, the most unfortunate part of my bald is that my hair is white. You know, if it had just been kind of a gray and black and kind of speckled thing, it wouldn't be as bad. But because my hair is white, I look 35 years older than I am. Feel free to argue with any of this.
It's so not true. You're dapper and stylish.
I can't believe I had to ask you to argue.
Wouldn't that make you like 90?
91.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the case of William, he wasn't going bald well.
No, and you know what? I think he should have taken a little more down.
He's high and tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not all shaved. He's got
shadow.
Shadow. That's
yeah, it's yeah, just shadow. That's the in the bald business we call that a one. He's down to a one.
Is that what you put the clippers on?
Put the clippers on a one because they won't go to a zero.
Got it.
I don't know. I think he looks better that way.
It's bald 101.
Looks good.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's this. What did you say, Joe? Turn your microphone on. Is your microphone on?
No, it's not. Now it is.
All right. Well,
Sandberg agrees.
Sandberg agrees he looks better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sure that's a relief for the prince.
How's he going to keep the crown on, though, if he's bald?
You think it'll just slip right down?
I think it'll slip right off, won't it?
Just put that crown on. Right down. Yeah.
We just heard that sound somewhere else this week.
I love it.
Where did we hear that sound?
You were using
sliding
that
off the pine.
Oh, yes. That's it.
That's it.
Dennis
girl?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a man of four voices and three sound effects.
Uh-huh. You're a sound effects machine.
Yeah, a broken one.
And one's a squirrel.
High-profile pregnancy. Jacinda Ardern, I should say, is 37. She recently became New England's prime minister in October. She's the boss of New Zealand. I said New England, New Zealand. It'd be funny if New England had their own prime minister. New Zealand's prime minister. And she is expected to give birth in June. She'll then have 6 weeks leave. Now check this out. She is the only national leader of a major country since 1990 to be pregnant and give birth in office, the last one being Benazir Bhutto. Who gave birth to her second child while she was prime minister of Pakistan.
How about that?
Which obviously means we need more young women at the height of power.
Yeah. We need more women.
Who are
period.
Pregnant.
That's right.
Well, I mean, yeah. More young women at the height of power would naturally mean just by the numbers to have more pregnancies. But it's just an interesting little point. You know?
Very cool.
And finally, let's go live to outer space where Steve Grzanich spends most of his time. Mm-hmm. NASA has declared 2017 Earth's second warmest year ever.
Yes, and if we would have had an El Nino, it would have been the hottest ever.
El Nino, which of course means the Nino.
The Nino, yes. And it is not good news. And I don't know how Donald Trump is going to take this news, but you know his administration has a climate change problem. But this is hard evidence that's kind of hard to refute.
And again, kids, climate is not weather.
No.
So if you have someone go, what do you mean climate change? Look how cold it's been. That's different.
And
it's not the same thing.
The other thing is we're playing with just a few more degrees here. So, you know, the experts say that we can get to a certain temperature, average temperature on Earth. And if we get to that point, we're beyond fixing it. And we're getting to that point.
I have a space geek question for Grzanich.
Sure. Right.
Okay. Yes, there was another meteor sighting in Indiana. Day before, there was one in Michigan.
Wisconsin or Michigan, yeah.
Does the weather have anything to do with that?
No.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
No,
well, the ability to see the meteor,
yeah,
the weather is
see it, right?
But the weather would prevent you from seeing it.
Now, these things fall to Earth all the time, almost every day, probably multiple times a day somewhere on Earth. I mean, it's possible that maybe this was part of the same. You know, these meteors could have been traveling together through space, mm-hmm.
and they had a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
So they could be
separate ways.
They could be related in that sense, but yeah. So.
Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Kitchen faucet runs all night. I screwed the screw too tight. Wife's complaining, water heater will not heat. And by the way, should the water smell like feet? No. By mistake, I stained my deck. I used a car rust proof. Saw a critter and it scared the babysitter. Swear to God, there's a bear under my roof. What should I do? I must call Lou. American Weathermaker sponsors him on this show for you. 60 Minute Men, doing things no others can. Talk to Lou, he has a plan. 720, call the man.
How about that? How about that? American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling 60 Minute Men bring you Lou Manfredini. You at Channel 9 this morning?
I am. My favorite line in that whole song is, should my water smell like beets?
Feet, I thought.
Well, it's feet. Feet, beets, whatever.
Feet.
I defer to Lou on that. He can do whatever he wants.
Well, it kind of sounds like beets.
How was your vacation?
Feet is good, too. It was great.
Where'd you go?
Mexico.
Where in Mexico?
We have traveled to Puerto Vallarta for close to 20 years.
You got a cartel there you're working with?
A little bit, yeah. I get picked up in some kind of military vehicle, and I stand in the back.
Yeah,
it looks like Manuel Noriega.
Safest place to be.
Old enough to remember him.
Do you have the whole family?
No, actually, it was my wife and our two daughters. Just our wife, my wife, and our two daughters.
Isn't it amazing? You've gotten to a point in your life now where even the bribe of a Mexican vacation can't draw the entire family together.
Well, the problem is, as you know, Steve, these kids are all getting older.
So yep, they have their own lives now.
I know. Our oldest son is working, and he couldn't get the time off, and our youngest son is... he's quite the thespian, so he had rehearsals all weekend for a new show he's in, so...
How about that?
Yeah. That's fun.
I don't know if Pat Brady's up now, but Pat Brady told me a story about, he's taking the kids to...
If I ever run for political office, I'm going to hire Pat Brady.
Yeah, well, of course. Well, Pat Brady ought to run for office, right? I'd vote for him tomorrow.
Yeah.
But Pat Brady, he was taking the kids to, where'd he go? The Caymans, I think?
Yeah, he did. Yes.
Oh, yeah, they do that for the holiday or something, right?
Yeah, and his second oldest child, his daughter, Kelly... was told to get their passport in order multiple times. She goes to college out at San Diego State.
Right.
They get to the airport and the passport's outdated.
Oh, no.
So he takes the kids. They go. One of his brothers, Kelly's uncle, takes Kelly in. She ends up going back to the house, spends a couple days at the house before she gets her passport in order and she joins them. But then I find out later that Kelly's boyfriend happened to be in town.
Uh-huh. Partay.
I like Kelly a lot, but I'm not sure this whole thing wasn't a scam.
That's a good move.
Oh my gosh, my passport.
Because she's a really together kid.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Really smart.
More
really
together than
kid.
We know.
Yeah. So I think this
playing
may
the old man.
I think this may have been a plan.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right, we got Mark on the phone from Cary. Mark is here. Actually, that might not be a bad text question. And I'm not saying Kelly did this, but what's the biggest lie your kid ever told you? Huh? Hmm? Yeah. 312-981-7200. Biggest fake out, pull the wool over your eyes your kid ever pulled on you. 312-981-7200. Texters. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
We are good. What's your question for Lou, sir?
Hi, Lou. My question is, I've discovered a couple of PVC pipes, vent pipes, not drain pipes. One is a vent stack for a plumbing in a finished basement. The other is a vent stack for a furnace in an attic, a high-efficiency furnace.
Okay.
And in both cases, it seems like the seams, one of the junction seams was not completed because I've got condensation and water dripping from a seam.
Oh.
So my question is, can I seal that with just like... 100% silicone.
If there's nothing that runs through it, if it's just venting and it's exposed, you absolutely could. You could really use 100% silicone. You could use even acrylic latex caulking. The fact that there's moisture there, the latex caulking might work a little better, and it will seal it up. So the key in that giving that answer is nothing can be running through the pipe but air.
Right. Right. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mark, you're a genius. You don't need Lou.
Hey. Hey.
And Mark,
I count on him every week.
You're a good man.
Yeah. And Mark, for being on the program.
Give him something, Steve.
You're a big winner. Mark, you have the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weather Makers. Home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Hold on, Mark, so we can get the rest of your information. Anybody else have a question on staff today? Everybody else happy. Everybody's home is good. Wow. John, you have one?
Yes. Lou, my wife and I just had a new hot water heater installed yesterday.
A water heater?
Yes.
If it was a hot water heater, you wouldn't need it.
It smells like feet. We don't know why.
Not beets.
Not beets. Here's my question. It is just
Which
a 40.
Beets sort of smell like feet.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's a 40-gallon tank. I think it's standard, whatever.
Yep.
But it's not one of those, you know.
It's not tankless.
It's not tankless, which is so much money. But do you get your money back if you sell the house on something like that?
On an on-demand?
Yes.
I think you do because, in particular, as we're all getting older, chances are we're going to sell our homes to someone younger. And because everyone's younger. Okay, so there's that. But that technology is something that they're being more exposed to and are more accepting. You know, 15 years ago, and I was still beating this drum, people were like, I don't understand it. I don't like it. And even plumbers were dead set against it. But it's just becoming the industry way of doing business. At the International Builders Show, you know, most builders are just going to this because it offers them more flexibility from the size of the mechanical rooms because they're so small. And the real benefit, John, is that they last so much longer. You know, the average tank heater lasts about 10 years, and tankless are double. So while it costs more, about double, you get double the time out of it, and you save money. You save much more money during that time period.
Okay. I have a tankless, but and it worked like a charm for the first 2 years, and now it's not working as well. What do I need to do to adjust it?
So there is maintenance that goes with the on-demand
that's the
heaters,
problem.
And they should be flushed on an annual basis.
So just have a plumber come out and flush it?
Yeah, and have them clean out the heat exchanger, and it's a flushing method should improve it considerably.
Does it involve a Ouija board and some sort of chant?
It's like Jumanji.
Yeah. A couple of texters. Oh, Dave, you have a question?
Real quick. I have a programmable thermostat, smart thermostat,
yep.
Lou, and around 7:30 every evening, it feels chilly in the house. I look at the thermostat and it says 64. And I never set it to 64, but I have to go and manually
must be
adjust
a program.
It.
Must be a
it's
program.
A, it's got to be some program glitch or something
right?
within the.
Like
know,
you
the,
set it to a program and you forgot because of your age.
Okay, that was so unnecessary.
That's what I keep mine.
It was true, sometimes but it was colder. Unnecessary. Dave, with most of those programmables, they will give you. You have settings in there for. And depending on the brand you have, many of those have even hourly settings, but mostly you have morning, midday, and evening. And I bet within the programming that the one evening setting is not consistent with the rest of the settings. There should be a setting there for you to do consistent. If you like to have that temperature the same all 7 days a week, there should be a button that says all days, and then you just set all days and say at, you know, whatever, 4 in the morning you want this temperature, hold it until this temperature, and then it'll adjust.
Okay, I'm going to run home right now and do that.
Texters 847, I was wondering who Lou recommends to replace home entry doors if he has somebody.
Well, it depends. I don't know exactly where they live, but they could call Cobblestone Development.
Yeah, they're great. Fabulous people. They're about to do a kitchen.
Nice.
Let's see. What's the mixture for cleaning laminate floors with crud cutter?
Ooh. I don't know that I would use crud cutter on a laminate floor.
What would you use?
It's too aggressive of a cleaner.
Okay, we understand you hate crud cutter. What would
you
use?
No, I love crud cutter, but not for a laminate floor. for a laminate floor, I would use one of two products. Bona Chemi makes a hardwood floor cleaner that is a neutral base that does a nice job in combination with their microfiber mop. And then there's also a new cleaning system that's been around for a while called E-Cloth. I don't love the name, but essentially this is highly, highly refined microfibers, and they make a whole line of cleaning products that you just use water. And I know that sounds crazy, but you'll be amazed at how you can clean up just with these microfibers. It's amazing.
Lou, this is a 224. Lou, I have a squeaky floor under a carpet on the second floor. Is there an easy way to fix that?
Really, the only way to do it correctly is you got to peel back the carpeting if it's wall-to-wall, locate exactly where the squeak is, and then hopefully it's just plywood, you know, the subfloor there. Take deck screws and screw into the joists below to try and tighten up the floor, and then restretch the carpeting.
Last question, 847. Lou was in Mexico, I believe, on a secret mission to start work on Trump's wall. Oh, hey, wait a minute.
Can I tell you something funny? Last year when I was down in Puerto Vallarta, it was, you know, right as when Trump got into office, and right along the beach, the Mexican people had built this plywood wall
it's kind of
that
funny.
Said, here's your wall, and then they had some not-so-nice words in Spanish.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Goodbye, good luck in Spanish.
Could have been something like that.
All right, enjoy your Channel 9, buddy.
Thank you. See you later.
See you tomorrow. And back with Andrea, just a second.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
On the Steve Cochran Show All-Time Top 10. This would be about number 6, maybe number 7. Coolio getting it done. Did we get this in original AM mono? Why does it sound like this?
I'm not sure.
Dave, listen to this. It sounds like it came out of a transistor radio you and I'd carry around in about 1975.
Listening under my pillow.
It's a boombox version.
The clean version may not be as...
Oh, I see. So the clean version is more audio?
Yeah.
This is a great story. Book's called Trap Catching Banging Recipes from Compton. Malachi Jenkins and Roberto Smith with Marissa Mendez helping them get it done. And Malachi got up early to join us now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for coming on. I love the book.
Thank you, man. It was a pleasure putting it together, man.
So who taught you how to cook?
Was
your mom or your grandma or somebody?
Nobody. Just trial and error, man.
All right, so here's the backstory on the book, which is fascinating. Malachi Spanky Jenkins and Roberto News Smith come from rival gangs in L.A. One's a Crip, one's a Blood. Which one are you?
I'm a Crip.
So how did you guys get together?
Like, right after I got out of high school, one of my friends from my neighborhood is cousins with one of News' friends from his neighborhood, and they started to hang out. So that brought us on to hang with each other, so we just took a liking to each other and did our own thing. And here we are, about a little past 10 years later, still rocking.
It's a great story, and it proves that you don't have to hate somebody just because somebody told you to hate them, right?
Yeah, right. Just like how everything is ran. They tell you to not like something, and everybody runs with it. We just started to be different.
Do you feel like maybe you have already, and certainly going forward here, you can influence kids that, you know, were in the position you guys were in to do the same thing?
Of course, man. That's what we want them to do, man. We're trying to encourage unity out here over the whole nation, not just in California.
How much heat did you take from your guys, the guys that you ran with, for doing this?
We didn't take any heat, and they followed suit. We are pretty respected in our neighborhoods and in the streets, so there wasn't too much to be said.
That's a great story, dude. It's a really great story. You ought to be really proud of yourself.
I am, man. It's very humbling.
Trap Kitchen has got recipes. Well, take a look at this, Andrea. Let me hand that book over to you.
There were some. I heard you guys talking about
great recipes.
Chicken and waffles.
Oh, chicken and waffles. You ever have Hollywood chicken and waffles?
I've had awesome. This sounds awesome. Are these super hard to make, too, Malachi? Like the mac and cheese?
No, these are very simple. I coached you through the whole recipe. And you have to do it exactly how I say.
Andre just opened up to one of my favorite pages. What's the recipe?
Bacon, young, and cheese. Bacon
no.
And young cheesy.
Young cheesy.
Young
bacon
cheesy.
And young cheesy.
Young cheesy.
Yeah, that's that bacon mac attack.
Yeah, applewood bacon, fried up and fully cooked and added in with mac and cheese.
Yes.
What's your favorite thing in the book, man?
My favorite recipe is the gumbo.
Gumbo. Oh, you like it spicy. Look at
gumbo.
You, Malachi. Liking it spicy. You a married guy?
No, I'm single, man. I'm a bachelor.
You cook for the ladies? You ever have, you're showing off, making them a little cheese-up lobster mac?
When I'm not working, man, I have some time to be at home, yeah.
All right, so what's the job now? Where are you cooking?
Up in Portland, we just opened up a food court. And so, Portland is like a foodie state, a foodie town.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've been flying back and forth from L.A. to Portland, really opened up out there, and I got a great feedback. And I was nervous at first, but it's going good now.
Get you entrepreneur.
Wow. Malachi, what you guys have done, you and News, it's almost like it's better than reaching across political lines.
Yeah,
you guys really have formed this partnership. Do you think others in your gang or his gang or others across the country are going to look at this maybe as a story of inspiration?
Of course they are. It's like we're here to tell a story too. We're very much deeply rooted in our communities, and we go out and speak, and we spread the word. Not only do we have a platform on Instagram, but we also make sure that we out here doing the footwork and putting in work and putting in people's ear and getting the message spread around that this is the new wave. This is how it needs to go. You know, despite all this troubling things that's going on in the world right now, man, we can share a little bit of good light over here and inspire somebody, you know?
There's a couple of my favorites. I'd never eat a yam. I might eat a yam because of the recipe. What's the yams? That's one. And listen to this. You tell me what this is, Dave. Lick me good, then I'll put the mash with the lobster. It's lobster garlic mashed potatoes.
I would have guessed that.
Yeah.
Oh, Spanky, you're getting it done, man. You are getting it done.
Yeah, man. I look forward to putting together a holiday book, man. So, yeah, it's only one of many, man.
What's the website or what's the Instagram handle?
The Instagram handle is at The Real Trap Kitchen or at TrapKitchen_news. That's where you can find us or what are we doing. We have one more that you guys need to follow. It's Trap Kitchen PDX. That's our Portland Instagram. And, yeah, you also can find us at www.trapkitchen.com.
God bless you, bud. Keep up the great work and keep inspiring people.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Such a great story.
Thanks,
Malachi. Such a great story.
Here's the picture of the chicken and waffles on Instagram. That looks fantastic,
phenomenal.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
This, I mean, seriously, this is unheard of, reaching across gang lines to
Crips and Bloods getting together to cook dinner.
This? That's fantastic.
Malachi Spanky Jenkins and Roberto News Smith, Trap Kitchen, banging recipes from Compton. I'll be making all this tonight. I'm pretty sure, didn't chicken and waffles start in South Central L.A.?
I think so. There's some great chicken and waffles places in Chicago, too.
There are everywhere now.
Yeah, it is. Right? It's a hot thing now, like mac and cheese is everywhere.
Right.
But
I've always wanted a nickname like Spanky, too. That's a great nickname.
We can call you Spanky.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe one day on the show for a text question, we just do nicknames for the staff.
Oh, that'd be a great one. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Dave, can I give you yours?
Sure, Steve. What is
it? What is it? Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
We all want to know.
Everybody laughed when I called you drunky, and that's just not fair.
Yeah,
that's not fair at all.
No, in all fairness, you said drunky McDruckerson.
That's true. That's different. Yeah. That's actually different.
Especially since there are people on the show who drink more than I do.
Are you naming names? Who's
No, I don't have to name anybody.
Me? Mary? I stopped drinking. You knew that. I don't mean to make it sound like I had a problem.
You know, her rage in the newsroom caused her to quit.
No, there was others that caused me to do it. Hey, others on this show drink more than I do.
Yeah. Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Hawks. Take the attack, yeah.
The Keith Relief Concert, an annual tradition featuring Low Cash coming in. You know the country music duo Low Cash? They're good. They're real good. Low Cash will be here on February 16th at Joe's Bar on Weed Street. Proceeds benefit Duncan Keith's charity, Keith Relief, and the Ronald McDonald House Charities. General admission of VIP tickets start today at 10 a.m. It always sells out. It's DuncanKeith.com/Keith-Relief-Concert. Well, that couldn't be more complicated, could it? DuncanKeith.com/Keith-Relief-Concert. We'll put that link up at Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, and, of course, at WGNRadio.com. But if you want to go for free on me, seventh caller is a winner now. Seventh caller, 312-981-7200. By the way, I just found out, Dave, that that Sandberg, this is how much Pat Boyle must love his wife. Mm-hmm. Sandberg's temperature that she sleeps at her house at is 64 degrees. Now, unless you're hanging beef, I don't know that you need to have 64 degrees at your house.
We need it because we get hot. We need...
Everybody gets hot.
I know, but we don't want to. So we the big discussion always is who turned on
the heat. Need it or you?
No,
need
we
it.
We need it. And if he was awake right now, he would jump on and say we need
64
it.
Degrees.
Yes, and so the big thing is when we're going to be going to bed, we back time it, and around 8 p.m. Did you turn the heat down yet?
Why don't you just open the windows?
Because then you hear noise. We have to. We have our room has. We have the room darkening curtains that never get opened, and we have a sound machine.
Your bedroom's like a laboratory.
What about ceiling fans?
We have a ceiling fan as well, and that goes on. But around 8 p.m. every night on a work week, it's like, did you turn down the heat yet? Did you turn it down yet? Because we usually have it around 68. You know, for the regular.
Ooh, 68, big spenders.
I know. Well, because. I don't, the bedrooms get hotter. And uh-huh, so I don't uh-huh, want, if our bedroom uh-huh. is at 72, it takes hours.
My bedroom is at 64, I'd move.
Oh, see, I love to have my face peeking out and feel wind, cold wind on my face.
Why don't you sleep in the little yard?
but then I'd hear the outside noise. So
I think this is nuts, right? So I'm giving her a hard time.
But it's
about
not
it.
Because of money. It's
and then Andrea
yeah.
chimes up over here and she goes, I keep it at 64 all day.
I do. And sometimes I'll put it up to 66, but mine is strictly for a money thing.
I believe you have been traumatized by your family.
I think I probably have.
She has like a Greek thing going.
It is.
I don't even know if it's a Greek thing. I think as a child, your father and mother probably constantly said, what is it, a barn? Close the door.
Yeah,
what are we
did.
Heating the outside?
My dad would crank up the
slower.
Heat and my mom would
Dick
put
Dick
it
Sandberg
down.
Likes to say, put a sweater on.
Yes.
That's always what he told
but
us.
You're,
I got to
you're,
put a sweatshirt on.
You're always cold.
I'm always cold.
I wonder why. Your house is at 64 degrees.
I walk in and I go, I see dead people. I mean, it is cold in there.
You two are a special kind of crazy.
My sister and I, you know, we wore uniforms. We went to Catholic school growing up. And
you wear a parka when you sleep now?
When we would come home from school, the living room was configured such that there was two heating vents in there, and we would crank up the heat. It was one of those old-fashioned, you just turn it, you know. We'd crank it up and sit over the vents with blankets with our uniform skirts and warm our legs. But sometimes we forget to turn it down, and my dad would come home and it'd be like 80. You know, like we were really cranking the thing.
And then you found out your dad was right, so now you keep it at 64.
Yeah, and you're right. And now you sleep better when it's a cool temperature on my mattress for a mattress, which is amazing.
Yeah. I keep my house at 87 all day just to counteract the two of you.
Boy, Mary, I can't wait till you start getting the hot flashes. You're going to have to move to Alaska.
Oh, I know. We've already discussed. Sometimes we're like, should we bring it even down?
Nightmare.
I know.
Then it's going to be on 59.
Yeah. Well, it's years and years away for you, menopause for you might get you to 66.
And occasionally when it's at, like if somebody, one of us didn't turn it all the way down and it's at 67 or 66, we always wake up around the 132. It's like, why is it so hot in here? And like the big storm out of the bed to go turn down the heat is, it's a big
You can control your heat on your phone. I'll show you how to do it.
Oh.
Sorry, not to add to the crazy.
We'll come back and do this. By the way, Nancy from Addison was the big winner a moment ago for Keith Relief Concerts. Dave, what temperature do you sleep at?
We set the thermostat 67, 68 at night.
Yeah, 68's fine.
Yeah.
64?
64 is a little
64?
Extreme.
64?
Especially when it's 20 below outside.
I have a low home heating
64.
Bill.
What are you trying to get Vladimir Putin to come by? 64?
We don't even put the vodka in the fridge. You just put it out on the table.
Unbelievable. Our bill's not high.
Back with the news right after this on 720 WGN.
live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We'll play the match game here in just a second. Let's see. 630 texter. I know somebody was found dead from exposure. The thermostat was set at 64.
Was it in either of our homes?
No. Let's see. 708, not cold enough in the bedroom at night unless I can see my breath. Wow.
Yeah.
331, listening to Cochran. Letting you know I'm with Mary. That's Sandberg. I keep my house at 61. What are you, trout?
61. That's insane. That's crazy.
Oh, like you two are in any place to judge.
Well, that's true.
I like the wind in my face and sleeping cool is better. That's not cool. That's a freezer.
Here's the difference, though. Mary likes it. You like it a little cooler, right?
I too like the wind on my face. The fan blows the wind on my face, and it's right. Cool. And then my body's under my duvet, and it's very comfortable. And
I got 64, 65. Listen to this. 630. Nothing more than 60 at night in our house, sometimes 57. Good God. Get a dome. Open your roof.
Right.
So what happens when you wake up and you get out of bed?
Well, the funny thing is because we have this big debate, if we're hot at night, the second we're awake and out of the bed, all we do is complain that we're freezing. And we turn the heat up.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You do it because you like the cold. Right. I do it for the cheapness factor.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Commonwealth Edison doesn't say you're that inefficient.
They send me letters constantly about how all my neighbors are more efficient than we are.
Tell Sandberg to get an Alexa Echo situation and then just lay in bed and yell at it to turn the temperature down.
Oh, I have one of those. You know, we haven't. It's
you could set it for
that. I didn't know that.
By the way, I set my mom. I got my mom one for Christmas. I set it up yesterday at her house. That's right. Captain Technology right here. All right, let's play the match game. Roll it. Chance to win tickets to see John DeCause, the great Larry Reeb, Tim Benker and me do stand-up comedy, Cochran Comedy Tour, Arlington Heights, beautiful Metropolis Theater.
That tune is funny.
Tomorrow night, that's your temperature situation.
And you can change it from your phone.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to get out of bed.
60. You people are sick. We'll play the match game now with Elizabeth and John. We have our celebrities ready to play. And let's go to Elizabeth in Naperville. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
How long have you been underwater?
I know. That's what I was going to say.
Is your phone okay? It sounds like you're underwater. That's better.
There she is.
There we go.
I was going to ask if you were a strong swimmer.
Yeah, take the snorkel out.
She kept her house at 64 and it froze over.
Yeah, exactly.
I kept mine at 68.
Okay.
During the winter, 69.
68, 69 is human.
It's reasonable.
Yeah, that's close.
It's like we're not human.
No, you're not.
It's a little better.
People are penguins.
Yeah.
All right, John will ask you a question. Don't give your answer in the match yet. Wait till all the celebrities are locked in, and then John will ask you for it. What's the question?
Okay, here we go. Here we go, Elizabeth. Katie Sandberg is so high maintenance, when she takes Biscuit for a walk, she makes him wear a blank. I will repeat that again. Katie Sandberg is so high maintenance. When she takes Biscuit for a walk, she makes him wear a blank. Let me check with my celebrities.
I'm locked
everybody.
In.
Joe, you set?
Joe didn't even know he was playing.
Playing.
I actually gave him a little heads up.
Okay, good. Okay, very good. Everybody set?
I'm ready.
Yes, we're all set. Elizabeth, what is your answer?
A coat.
A coat.
Okay, that's a good answer.
Very good.
Because a dog has a coat, so to ask it for a coat, that'd be high maintenance.
That would be high maintenance.
Yeah, I like it. That's a good answer.
The dog has multiple coats.
Multiple coats, yes. Okay, let's start with Dave. Dave?
That's a tough one. I say tuxedo.
No, that's, again,
that's
good. It's over the top.
No, it's not a good answer.
Biscuit is a boy. Biscuit is a boy, and he does have a tuxedo.
Yeah, okay, well, it's not a good answer.
Yes, Andrea.
I put a babushka.
A babushka.
What is a babushka?
It's a Russian hat.
It's like a the wrap because high end. You know,
that's not a wrap. It's a Russian
like
hat.
A scarf.
Joe, what is
like
your answer?
Oh, it's a hat, right?
No,
a babushka.
It's like a wrap.
It's like a scarf.
Does Elizabeth win?
Yes.
But we're not done yet.
No, that's okay.
Right.
Yes, Joe.
Are you giving Elizabeth credit for the babushka?
No.
Okay.
Elizabeth.
That's a scarf.
Sorry,
I went with
Louis
Vuitton.
Well, what's the hat called? What's the big Russian hat called?
Russian hat.
Is it a Popsky? What's the Russian hat called?
Akhnachavichk.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
I knew that.
Bless you.
Thank you. I have no idea, Joe.
A Louis Vuitton cone.
Oh, that's funny.
She would get a name brand cone if he had one.
What do you mean, the cone for the...
Like if you got stitches and you can't lick your...
The cone of shame.
Yeah.
That's a little...
That way you can protect, you know...
That's a little too smart for the room.
Mary Vanderbilt upstairs.
I kind of want earmuffs.
Earmuffs are good.
Yeah,
that's another good one.
Cute.
Mary Sandberg.
One time when Biscuit went as Michael Phelps for Halloween, Katie did get ear things for him because he always wears the headphones.
Oh,
just
yeah.
So you know. I went scarf.
A scarf?
Or
that will
babushka.
Be, I'll give babushka, but that they match. She doesn't.
Babushka is a hat slash scarf.
Oh, hat slash scarf.
It is a hat.
Okay, but it's not a coat.
No.
It's not a coat.
Oh, yeah, right.
Darn.
So, sorry.
Fine fur coat.
Yes. Steve, you went
a fine fur coat.
Fine fur coat, yes.
That's a winner.
We have a winner.
Ding,
yes.
Ding, ding. So all right, how many chips?
She matched one.
Just me.
Yes.
You know, Elizabeth, it's you and me. That's it.
Yeah, don't worry about Elizabeth. Hang on.
All right, stand by, Elizabeth. Hold on. Let's go to John. John's in Orland Hills. All right, John, don't give your answer until John asks for it. Go ahead.
Okay, John, you ready?
Yes, sir.
There we go. The Cochran Show Tug of War contest happens today between Joe and Bennett. Instead of rope, they're going to use a blank. The Cochran Show Tug of War contest happens today between Joe and Bennett. Instead of rope, they're going to use a blank. Don't give me your answer yet, John. Hang on. Make sure all of our celebrities...
Nothing.
Can I
Is
go
nothing
first?
A good answer?
Yes. Yes.
Wait,
everybody ready?
Hold on. Wait. Let me...
Andrea? Okay. Wait. Are you on the second paragraph, Andrea?
No. I'm writing it down. I'm trying to find a piece of paper. Okay.
Show ends at 10.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay. Here we go. John, what is your answer? The Cochran Show Tug of War? Go ahead.
Rubber band.
Rubber band. Very good.
Ooh, that's a good
rubber
one.
Band.
That's funny.
Okay. Let's see if we can match somebody. Mary Sandberg.
I said spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
What? They're going to use a spaghetti?
A spaghetti.
What are you, nine?
Paschetti. Paschetti.
Yes. Yes. Dave Bennett.
A dental floss.
A dental floss.
A dental floss.
What is going on?
Oh, my God.
I suck at this game.
Okay.
Yes. Andrea.
All
yes.
right. Before you, Steve Cochran, make fun of me, I'm just going to say this is a fantastic answer because
yes.
this is near and dear to Joe Romano's heart.
I'm sorry. We're out of time.
It's a Charleston shoe.
Oh, very good.
Remember when Doc Emmer came in?
So that's good.
Steve, that's a good answer. You have to give me that.
That's a good answer. I will give you that.
But the audience doesn't know that Joe likes Charleston
right.
shoes.
Oh, yes. Right. So yeah, that's all right. That's a little inside.
Joe, I got to your brother.
So therefore, the contestant wouldn't know.
Joe, go ahead. What is your
very
answer?
Very creative.
I actually have inside info, so this is the right answer. Licorice whip.
Licorice whip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Licorice makes sense because Joe and Bennett are immature.
Yeah, it's similar to Paschetti. Okay. Mary Vanderbilt upstairs.
Well, I didn't have licorice in there, but I was thinking more Mary Sandberg was involved, and I said whip, as in crack the whip.
Some sort of S&M thing going on the seventh floor. Wow. Have we got no matches so far?
No matches. No. And Mary Sandberg wasn't involved in the tug of war, but thanks for playing and listening. I appreciate that. That's so good.
I had nothing, so I went with the obvious answer, babushka.
Yeah!
they were with the babushka.
No matches.
Which is
no
incredible, matches. John. But hold on, John. We have prizes for you
as
well.
That's right. That's right.
Elizabeth, you're so excited. Stand by. You've just won tickets for tomorrow night's show.
Woo! Yay, thank you.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you there. And we're going to give you and Joe, in addition to that, Lou Malnati's Pizza.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so both of you hang on. Lou Malnati's one of All Chicago's right. best. You are coming to the show tomorrow night. Do I need to pick you up?
No, we can get there.
Okay. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. I like that giggle.
That's good.
There you go. Nice job, kids. That's the match game. We'll come back in just a second. I want to play back something that happened yesterday on the show that I think is important.
Chicago's Conversation.
Learn something new on 720 WGN.
All right, yesterday John Williams was on the program. We started talking about this fake news nonsense, this BS that drives us all crazy. Tried to roll out a little bit of an explanation of how stories are actually covered. Here's a piece of that from yesterday's show, starting off with John talking about the difference between covering news, what Andrea does, or what John or I might do as talk show hosts. Listen.
An informed opinion host, a Steve Cochran, is a different animal than an Andrea Darlis. And yet you hear them on the same station in the same day part. CNN runs into this.
Sure.
Fox is the same way on the other side. Was that a news report that I heard, or was that an opinion by Sean Hannity, or was it?
So it's understandable why people can be confused.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the times are really different now, not just with CNN, but also with the MSNBC, Fox News, you know, with Huffington Post and the Drudge Report. You know, you have these spectrums, and it's hard to know where, remember where you got it. And if you did get it from, like, Huffington Post, I think is a good example too. You read stuff on Huffington Post that I feel compelled to then double check.
Sure.
Sure.
And that's a quote unquote legitimate news site, but I think their bias is so transparent.
The bottom line is there is no upside to just shooting from the hip. I don't care what your agenda may or may not be. Do reporters and talk show hosts have political beliefs? Of course they do. But if you take a job and you're employed at a handsome or a minimal salary by someone, you're taking it with the understanding that you're not going to put that person's license or business in jeopardy. That's the umbrella that you work under. Your ethics and your responsibility to the people that pay you. Now, there's a third piece of this, and that's the anonymous sources. This has been thrown up as something that immediately delegitimizes the story. The White House uses anonymous sources all the time. Here is what an anonymous source is. An anonymous source is someone who gives you a news story but refuses to have their name attached to it, because the only reason they can give you the news story is if their name isn't attached to it. It doesn't delegitimize what their material or what their content is. You still have to check it out. You still have to find out if, in fact, what they're saying is true. But the responsibility for it to be true doesn't change for you, for the reporter, for you and I, the talk show
host. And both sides use that. I mean, the press uses that, sources that won't go on record but are informed. But the Obama administration and this administration will also anonymously tell things to the media because they want it out there.
Right.
But they don't want to put their name on it. Either they're floating an idea or it's absolutely their plan, but they just don't want to attach it to anybody per se. So they use the media that way as well. I want to see a list of what is and isn't the fake news media. I think we all interpret it to mean negative reporting about the administration. That's right. How
in their definition. Yeah.
I mean, so in other words, is the president saying, and I'm serious about this, the New York Times is fake, the LA Times is, the Chicago Tribune is? Really, like, if Rick Pearson says something, would the president deem that to not be true as well? Because it's with a major news organization? Literally, what?
If it's negative, it's made up.
But he's saying, I don't know, it seems to me like I'm interested in the sources. The president is saying these sources are fake and can't be trusted. And it's CNN and the New York Times and Washington Post. But is it all of the big news operations?
The Wall Street Journal, who has generally written favorable, right-leaning
pieces.
They're
very friendly to him.
Yeah, and owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
You know, a quote friend. Mm-hmm. He gave an interview the other day. He didn't like some of the things in the interview. He's now calling them fake news. So judge accordingly, but please do not spread the BS of fake news because it's something easy that you think you could agree with without considering your own job. I mean, I have friends, and we all do. We have friends who we respect, you know, we love, who will throw around the fake news term. And I would argue, let's say you're a veterinarian, you're a doctor, you're an insurance agent. What if I just start saying you're a fraud?
You're a fake vet.
You're a fraud. I don't know anything about how your business is done, but I've just decided that you're a fraud. And I'm going to start telling everybody else you're a fraud. When you take something as important as the media in this country, which was given the constitutional protections it was given so that we wouldn't have dictators running this country, and you propagate this notion of fake news, you are hurting all of us. You're making it worse for all of us.
That's kind of curious. If you took every doctor who had a bad outcome or whose patient didn't get well as quickly as they'd hoped they would, and then we all started to say, hey, you know, Dr. Smith, fake doctor.
That's a great analogy.
And it's like, we don't do that, and that's, we know that's not fair to the doctor.
Right.
More or less.
Right. So if the
but
words,
it's okay to do it to the media.
If the words fake news come out of your mouth, ask yourself how you'd feel if John Williams or Steve Cochran went on the air today and said your name and you're a fraud.
Right.
Absolutely. Without any basis in fact in it. Mm-hmm. That's the danger.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay
home!
Anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
That's Paul Allen losing his mind, appropriately so, as the Vikings pulled off the last-second miracle in Minneapolis last weekend. Not that the Jags win over Pittsburgh was decided until very late in the game. Just didn't have the same kind of dramatic ending. And if you had 93 as the point total for that game, you're lying. Because nobody yes, saw 48-45 Jacksonville-Pittsburgh. Hamp brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hamp, as you know, number one 7 years in a row. So that's exciting stuff. And, of course, the auto show is coming up. Hi, buddy.
Hey, good morning. And you're exactly right. Nobody saw that coming. And, you know, part of the reason why my pick in this weekend's championship game isn't like everyone else's is because technically, other than a fluke, in a sane world where tackling is actually taught and expected, the Minnesota Vikings would not be in the NFC championship game.
Exactly. Couldn't agree more. 1,000%. Let's talk about the Vikings game first. Vikings in Philadelphia. Eagles have a quarterback that didn't exactly blow the roof off last week, but he's a serviceable backup in most eyes in the National Football League. Is he good enough to beat the Vikings in Philadelphia where it's going to be 50 degrees and weather won't be an issue?
Well, beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. Yes, he's capable. You know, and that's part of the reason why Pat Shurmur is going to be a head coach somewhere. He has gotten so much out of this group. Now, just a lot of folks don't realize it, but the expected starter, which was Sam Bradford, he goes down to injury early in the year. The running back they drafted in I think he was a high second round pick. He gets injured, and so basically. You know, Pat Shurmur, the Vikings, they're, you know, looking to pick up the pieces, and they basically have made, you know, a lot of really good things happen with Case Keenum, a reject from the Rams and Houston, and guess what? He has responded, and he's every time someone thinks that he's going to falter, every time, you know, people expect him to not be up to the moment, well, man, all he does is find a way to beat you. They won 14 games this year, and he, you know, yeah, I think he has started, 11 of them. And what I'm amazed about is third down is such a big down. Buddy Ryan used to talk about it all the time. Everybody talks about first down. I mean, he goes, no, third down. You know, he goes, everybody talks about third down. Well, it's what you do in first and second that predicates what happens on third. And last week they were successful on 10 of 17 third down attempts because it was third and short. And that's because Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon, these two running backs that nobody knows, we're able to, you know, get them in third and two all day. So there's a lot of good stuff, but essentially it's Case Keenum. He is making plays when he has to that not only keeps the chains moving, but keeps them in a position where they won.
The Vikings coming off that incredibly emotional win and having their third-string quarterback be locked in at their first-string quarterback longer would seem to be a favorite in this game, but it's tough to play in Philadelphia. As a player for all those years, Hamp, and one of the best to ever play the game in the old Eagles Park, the Philly fans, I mean, they're sort of unique, aren't they?
You mean criminal?
That's the one I'm talking about. Yeah. Criminal, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what you said.
One of the few stadiums, the old stadium, I think it was the Veterans Stadium.
Yep.
Yeah, it was one of the few stadiums built with a jail cell.
Right, that's
in the
right.
Basement of it.
I don't know if they have one in Franklin in the new stadium. Do they? In Lincoln Financial
I'm not sure.
Field. We have to investigate that.
Well, either way, it was tough, and a lot of players got hurt. I first hurt my knee in Philadelphia, and so I'm just saying it wasn't a very attractive place to play. But those days are long gone. This is, I got to tell you, everything, they didn't play the Pro Bowl a year ago or a preseason game this past season because of the field condition. Everybody's real worried about, those issues today. So that those days are long gone. But I'll tell you this, it will be rocking. And I think it was 2004, and it could be, I think it is 4 or 5, whatever, the Super Bowl. It was New England and Philadelphia. But the Eagle fans can kind of smell blood. They know, man, they're on the verge of doing something pretty impressive. So I'm sure the fans will be jacked up and suitable for handcuffing.
By the way, they don't have a jail.
They do not.
They no longer have a jail. They don't have one at the new stadium.
Well, now you've unleashed the beast. It's going to be a crime wave. We will come back and talk about Jacksonville and New England and Tom Brady's injured paw, if that matters. And we'll get score predictions from David at me and Hamp. Stand by for that. All brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer. ChevyDriveChicago.com sponsoring. Hey, is the band going to play the auto show this year, Hemp?
Absolutely. In fact, tomorrow night, we're over at the Ameristar.
Oh, cool.
Bands over in Indiana, yeah.
Very nice.
So it's going to be a rambling weekend, and we'll see you at the auto show. Can't wait.
Chicago 6. If you ever had a chance to see them, you know how great they are. If you haven't, don't miss the chance. All right, so let's talk about Jacksonville and New England. How big a deal is this Brady throwing hand injury from what you're hearing?
Well, obviously it's not good, but I don't know how bad it is. You know, Tom Brady has been just beyond he's like a real-life action hero. I mean, do you realize this is the 7th consecutive AFC championship game he's been to? 7 consecutive.
It's ridiculous. Now, it's just ridiculous.
12 in, it's 12 in total. I went to 3, and I thought we had a hell of a team. I went to 3. They went to – this is the 7th consecutive. So – somehow, by hook and crook, he's going to find a way to not only be ready, but be effective. And, there's a lot of skeptics that are very adamant about the fact that the 2 games of the New York Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, obviously the common denominator was Tom Coughlin, the head coach. And now he is essentially like a general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, back there after, 20 years. But I the key to the Giants' success and those 2 wins in the Super Bowl against Brady was they were able to generate a lot of pressure, a lot of push in the pocket and disrupt Brady a lot with just a 4-man rush. They didn't have to blitz. And Brady is at his best when you commit 5 or 6, then he, it's almost second nature for him to exploit you. And so Jacksonville has those type of elements. They've got Calais Campbell, I think, is the best defensive lineman in football. He's a monster, and he will be he'll be a factor, a big force in this game. They've got some other guys, Dante Fowler and some other, but essentially, this whole game is predicated on how well the offensive line of New England is able to hold off that 4-man rush.
And what about Hamp? That after winning in Pittsburgh, Blake Bortles, I thought made some good plays in the 4th quarter of that game when everybody's doubted this guy all throughout. And it's, I guess there's a reason for that, but Is he good enough? Is he good enough? Well, but is he good enough to get in there and just make enough throws over the course of a game to give them a chance?
You know what is frightening? He's an imposter. But hey, he kind of filled out the chart and checked all the boxes last week.
Right.
He was able to find 10 different receivers. He was able to facilitate the offense. But it was all predicated on, hey, they were running the ball early, and Pittsburgh never really engaged. I mean, that was almost embarrassing, the way the Pittsburgh Steelers were not only prepared to play that game, but how they played it. But regardless, hey, Jacksonville, you got to tip your cap. Their defense was able to make enough plays, their offense with Bortles, and score when they had to. Bortles, I got to tell you, the touchdown pass he threw, who knew? Who thought he could do that? Because in the prior game against, who was it, Buffalo? I mean, he looked like the second coming of Henry Burris. So, I'm just saying, can he be able to play that well in Foxborough 2 weeks in a row? I say no. I don't think so.
It's, I think of Brady, even with an injury, he's like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. Just when you think you got him and he's dead in the tub, he sits up one more time.
You're exactly right. And guess what? He gets some of his weapons back. Rex Burkhead is a guy that's on third down. You can't cover him. And he's back for the first time in a month. So this is going to be highly entertaining. The Jacksonville Jaguars, to their credit, they were, they had a great year and a great defense. But come on, let's be realistic. They were 10-6. They're not world beaters. And in an AFC championship game against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, you got to be better than good. You got to be great.
You take Brady left-handed if you have to, right?
Yeah. And they still win. 24-21 Patriots, Dave.
New England 31-24.
Okay. Hamp.
38-10, Patriots roll. And,
wow.
And we didn't pick the Eagle game, did we?
Nope. Hit it.
Well, I'm saying 21-20, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
Go and match up. Yeah.
I got the Vikings. I think it's going to be a really good football game, but I got the Vikings 27-24.
I got Philadelphia 23-20 over the Vikings.
Wow. You see what Dave Ennett did there to you, Hamp? He went Price is Right. He went $1 over your bid on the showcase.
Down. I had it written down right here.
Hey, he's always lived on the margins. That's what we love about him.
That's it. All right, Hamp, enjoy the weekend. Conference championship weekend. Thank you, my friend.
Here we go. Go Bears.
Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer. ChevyDriveChicago.com. Back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than when I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Live to Channel 9, good morning, Dean.
Good morning to you.
A lot of people. Happy Friday. A lot of people are asking, has Dean confirmed yet for New Year's Eve, for the New Year's Eve show? Because after all, it is January 19th, and there's only 11 months and 12 days left until New Year's Eve. So are you in for our New Year's Eve show?
Very true. Is this normally confirmed on the air like this?
Yes. Yes, this is how we do it all the time.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm not ready to confirm, no.
Because you have a better offer?
No.
Wow, you're seems a mystery. Like, you're a mystery like, wrapped up in a conundrum.
This just seems like something that should be discussed off the air.
Well, why do you think we're discussing it on the air?
I know.
All right, so Dean, right now is a definite yes for New Year's Eve. I just want to make sure everybody knows. Now, it looks like kind of a slow...
Better if I string you along a little bit? We make a little drama out of this?
Yeah, I suppose
so. If I just give you a flat yes right now...
Yeah, it's a good point. No, it's a good point. Yeah.
Builds it up.
It builds up the tension.
The way I see this, I string you along till like
December 5th?
No, like middle of February, and then I confirm. Uh-huh. And then around our birthdays in March, we have a big fight, and I drop out.
and then we bring it back in June.
Right, and then John DeCoss brings us together, like North and South Korea, and we reconcile, and then I'm back in, like right around July 4th.
This is not his first movie.
I was going to say, Dean's got this down.
Yeah.
This is brilliant.
Yeah, I think we do like an on and off.
Strong. Now, normally what happens, though, is the other people involved in the negotiation and arrangement are part of the script, you know, where they know what's coming up. But
right.
It sounds like you're going to surprise us.
Well,
and then I get you guys together on the Labor Day telethon.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's very sweet. Yeah,
like
very sweet.
Like
all right. Here's what's going on. Wrigley Field concerts have been announced, and you can find out what they are in moments. Pat Tomasulo is doing some sort of show on Channel 9.
Not aware of that. I have not heard of that.
And we got a couple of movies opening this weekend.
Pat Tomasulo?
Yep. Same guy.
Wow.
Oh, and I saw the... I don't think I told you this. I saw the post last weekend.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, it's great.
I can't wait to hear what you think
of it. It's great. It's tremendous.
Too.
And that is a review.
Nice.
I would nothing about my string people along...
Yeah, you know what? I really didn't.
I said I can't wait to hear what you think about it, and then you say what you thought about it.
Yeah, I just blew the whole segment.
Wow.
Oh, I suck.
He loved it, but will have more thoughts on the movie.
That's pretty much it. Tomorrow night we have this show in Arlington Heights at the Metropolis, which was really good.
If you were there, definitely won't be at that either.
If you were there tomorrow night, it was a really good show. I'm already giving that up too.
Is that a review? An official
review of tomorrow night's show.
Right.
It was great. So you got that going for you.
Crowd had a great time.
They had a tremendous time. Who knew I was going to give away a car to everybody? You get a car.
Darn it, should have gone.
So we'll have some more tickets to give away to that. But, John, how do we get tickets for that if we wanted to say, oh, I don't know, do something crazy and, like, pay for them?
You can go to metropolisarts.com or call the box office directly at 847-577-2121. It's Larry Reeb, you, myself, and Tim Banker. Just a night of stand-up and fun and laughter.
A lot of fun. Good. Be a good time. Now, how much are tickets?
I think they're $30.
So $30. You get four comedians for $30?
Yes. Wow.
That's $7.50 per comedian. That's less than a movie.
Add the fact that Dean won't be there.
Right.
Yeah, that adds value.
That increases the value tremendously. Yeah.
Now we have to... This is ridiculous.
And at $7.50 per comedian, we are all valuable beyond that.
Now, what if I do show up unexpectedly?
Then that we actually ask for more money from each individual.
Right, we go around with a hat.
Hey, Dean's here. We need more money now.
Now, are we still doing a thing where we give goodie bags away to everybody that comes to the
everybody.
Swag bags?
What do you mean still?
Like everyone gets a swag bag.
This is like the Oscars.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's really good.
Do we get cool gifts, though, like a spa day? Or
yeah.
What would be like an example of
well,
a gift?
Well, like one
a
of pencil. The gifts. One of the gifts.
Wait, what?
A pencil.
Oh, I thought you said something
a pencil.
Else.
Yeah.
Pencil. Here, you get a pencil and you get a pencil.
Is that what we get?
You know, what to get is a weekend in Montana with Mark Sapelsa, because I know where he lives and I know where his house is.
Yeah. Great.
Mark doesn't know you'll be coming, but...
And a chance for you to watch Pat Tomasulo's new show for free.
I'm astounded that there's this show that's going on I haven't heard about.
Yes, and...
I have a good behind-the-scenes story about the show.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. That's a good tease.
I can tell you right now if you don't want me to hold on to it.
Hold it for the break. I don't know what you're talking about. Also, if you come to the show tomorrow night, you can get an inappropriate shoulder rub from Robin Baumgarten.
Mm.
She's going to be there?
No.
Okay.
It's 8:16. Let's do this. Let's take a break.
Robin will be at the New Year's Eve show, though.
With you, Dean.
She's opening. Robin's opening the whole show. She doesn't know it yet.
Dean's a tough negotiator. We've already offered him $4 and a Coke, and yet he is still not committed.
Like Pepsi.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. So what is this mysterious Pat Tomasulo show?
The show is called Man of the People.
Man of the People. I'm writing this down.
It's an live studio audience comedy show.
Comedy. So it's funny.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it yet. Allegedly.
That's the rumor.
It's Saturday nights at 10 o'clock.
How long?
I believe it's a half an hour show.
30 minutes. Doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah. And, you know, there's commercials and stuff in it. So
the actual content's what, 70, 80 seconds tops?
Might be something like that.
And that's kind of a warm-up, too, because if you go to watch Saturday Night Live after that, even though Dean doesn't get any other channels in Channel 9,
right?
You get a whole slew of funny right before SNL's alleged funny.
Right. Yesterday, Pat Tomasulo and our friend Paul Conrad, they were having a behind-the-scenes tour of the studio where the show will take place. You know, we had a cameraman with a handheld camera following them, so, you know, you could see everything, and the cameraman tripped and fell.
He hurt himself?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Not a good start.
Yeah, because he has this big harness on it. You don't just carry the cameras, they don't just put on their shoulders anymore. There's like this big harness that you have to wear. So, like, he's strapped into the camera.
It's a bad omen for the show.
And either fell. We're not 100% sure where Paul Conrad was when this happened.
You think Conrad pushed him?
May have been tripped.
We have Conrad on the show next hour. I think I'll just accuse him of it without any basis, in fact.
Find out if that's true.
Yeah. All right, so that's tomorrow night at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Will there be recipe segments?
Yes, there will be.
Okay.
And craft segments.
I love crafts and recipes.
Right.
Yes.
All the old things that you remember Ray Rayner doing.
What about a makeover? Will there be a makeover?
That would be nice. I haven't heard if there's a makeover segment.
You could use a makeover.
Who doesn't enjoy a makeover segment? What I really love is I hope there's a wine segment where you watch people taste stuff and go, oh, this is good.
You know what might be fun is a wine segment. It's a wine segment, but it's just people whining. How about that? Right? I like that. All right, so that's tomorrow night at 10. Thank God we finally had a chance to promote it. Who's coming to Wrigley Field?
We were talking with Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy this morning. Mm-hmm. He was on Colbert last night.
He wanted to know who was coming as well?
He wanted to know when Pat Tomasulo's show was going to be on.
Right, he hadn't
gave
heard.
Us a call.
He had not heard.
And we learned from him that Fall Out Boy will be at Wrigley Field on September the 8th. Mm. They will be there with Rise Against and Machine Gun Kelly, and the tickets will go on sale 1 week from today. The other thing that we learned from Pete Wentz when we were talking with him is, you know how a lot of contracts have riders in them where performers need certain, you know, they request certain things.
Yeah, I have those.
In the dressing room.
Yeah.
We learned that Pete Wentz and Fall Out Boy have a rider in their contract requiring fresh socks and underwear in the dressing room before each show.
Okay, if you can't buy your own...
No, hold on a
socks
second.
And underwear.
Why wouldn't you already have underwear on when you get to the show? What do you need special show underwear for?
Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's for after the show.
Well, so they can get out of the sweaty clothes and get into something fresh?
I'm just, I'm trying to imagine.
That's ridiculous. If I'm the PA who's shopping for someone's underwear, I'm going to quit.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That'll be one of the things that we discuss when we talk about this New Year's show.
One of the things that I demand in my rider, and it's caused problems at times, but the people at Arlington Heights, the Metropolis tomorrow night, 7:30, have stepped up, is a parakeet. I have a fresh parakeet
really?
For every show.
Like Tanya Harding's mom?
Yes. Except I keep mine in a cage.
Steve
and I name them all Larry.
He keeps it on stage like a coal miner. If the show's not going well, the parakeet dies.
Yeah, well, that's why we stop using canaries.
Oh, it died. It died. Get off.
All right, three movies to talk about. What's Forever My Girl?
Forever My Girl is the worst movie of the week.
Excellent.
It's the kind of movie that gives Lifetime TV movies a bad name. It's a romantic drama.
It's like a Nicholas Sparks kind of vibe?
Oh, it's this movie makes Nicholas Sparks look like Casablanca.
Oh, really?
That's how bad it is. It's so shallow and so empty. It's a story about a guy who leaves his fiance at the altar in the church because he decides he wants to be a country music star. So he takes off and just leaves her there.
That hadn't occurred to him before the wedding?
Apparently not. He thought that today would be a good day to pull the plug on all of this. Fast forward 8 years later, when he is now one of the biggest stars in the world and has to return back to his hometown again for a funeral, and learns all that he missed by seeking fame and fortune.
Yeah, it sounds like it can't miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Den of Thieves?
I gave that a Dean's List D minus.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to ask.
Yeah. Den of Thieves is a pretty routine cops and robbers movie. It's a bank robbery heist movie. A group of military-type bad guys decide that they are going to commit the robbery of the century by breaking into the Federal Reserve.
Oh, is this a 50 Cent movie?
This is, 50 Cent is in the movie, and Gerard Butler is in the movie, and Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
So it's going to be a complicated plot, is what you're saying.
Is in the movie. Gerard Butler is the head of a team of rogue cops, Steve. And they don't play by the rules.
No, of course they don't.
They don't play by the rules.
Do they have a desk sergeant or a supervisor that says, I'm pulling you guys off the case?
There is a straight-laced FBI guy who plays that role in this movie. You can't understand their irreverent method.
Andrea had a question.
I just want to hear you guys say Fitty again.
Fitty.
Fitty.
Fitty Cent.
There you go.
Fitty.
And Fitty's son is in it, Two Bits.
Fitty Cent's son is Two Bits? Oh, I didn't know.
He's got twins, doesn't he?
Yes.
Twins.
It's a math problem you can do at school. If 50 Cent were shot 9 times over the course of his rap career, how many times was 50 Cent shot?
Is it 41?
No, it's 9! Oh, you kids. 12
when
Strong is...
your brain tweezers.
My brain tweezers.
Tweezers.
You definitely don't want to use those.
12 Strong is the best movie.
What did you give Den of Thieves?
Den of Thieves I gave C+. I didn't like the movie, but it's a really good twist ending in the movie. Unfortunately, you have to wait over 2 hours to get to it.
Yeah, boy.
So this 12 Strong, though, is it's an old-fashioned war movie is what it is. We haven't seen one of these in a long time. And a true story about the first U.S. military unit to be deployed into Afghanistan days after the September 11th attack. These 12 guys go in not with the most sophisticated military equipment to do battle, but on horseback, joining an Afghan warlord to fight the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And it's, you know, tremendous odds against these 12 guys in, you know, true story of how they fought valiantly. It's a great kind of war movie for sure. But the biggest thing that I took out of this movie is that, remember right after 9/11 and everybody had flags in front of their house and, you know, everybody was wearing the lapel pins and everybody was super patriotic and gung-ho. This movie captures that spirit. It's a pretty good movie. It's a Dean's List B, 12 Strong.
And of all the movies in the theater right now, I would highly recommend The Post, which I hadn't had a chance to mention in the first segment, but The Post, I liked it a lot. Liked it a lot.
And I'm guessing that you liked it a lot because of what it says about today's situation of the threat against freedom of the press and government lying to the people, out and out lying to people, as is illustrated in that movie in the 1971 release of the Pentagon Papers, in which the government was lying.
1,000%. Yeah. And the only thing fake about Washington and coverage of Washington are the people that have to be exposed for their fraud.
It's a pretty good movie. Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks. I loved Bob Odenkirk, Chicago's own Bob Odenkirk, who's great in the movie, directed by Steven Spielberg. I gave it a Dean's List A. I loved it.
I gave it a Dean's List B+, and I don't even have a Dean's List.
Well, it's about time you got one.
Yes. But it's really very, very good.
Yeah, pretty, really, really, really strong.
And just really timely, too. I suppose if it wasn't so timely, maybe it's a notch below, but it really rings true right now.
I was surprised that it was the first time they had worked together on a movie.
Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks.
Well, yeah, aside from you and Dean, of course, Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Because you guys all are in the same category.
Yeah.
A lot of people are mistaken that in Forrest Gump, that lady sitting on the park bench was Meryl Streep.
Right.
But that is not the case.
No, not at all. No, what he said. All right, and you're on Sunday?
Yes, and on the show, if anyone wants to stop by the Showcase Studio and bring me fresh socks and underwear for each hour of the show, that would be great.
That's tempting.
I'll see you at 10.
That's Dean Richards. Thanks, buddy. We're coming back with headlines from Andrea next on 720 WGN and the Steve Cochran Show.
Here's Schmaltz into the Oilers zone. Cuts across the slot to the right wing circle. Then back to the line. Drops it to Keith. Down to Kane beside the right circle. Kane shakes a check. Moves in front. Digs and shoots. He scores! Patrick Kane scores in overtime! And the Hawks beat the Oilers 4-3!
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That was the voice of the great John Weideman, nobody better, who has called himself a very interesting hockey season with his fellow great, his colleague, his wingman, Troy Murray. And what's been a season, Dave Ennett, as you know, of win three, lose two.
Yes.
Win
yes.
five, lose three.
Mm-hmm.
Win two, drop three.
The call you
win just... one, drop two.
Yeah.
Win three, drop one, bring one, three, drop three.
We're picking up a pattern here, which is there is no pattern.
John Weideman joins us now. What a weird year.
It certainly is. And by the way, Steve, on the road, I'm also known as Troy Murray's baggage handler.
Oh, is that right? He's such a diva.
Among other things.
Such a diva. Great to have you on. How you been?
Yeah, I've been fine. And you know what? I think you characterized the Blackhawks season perfectly. It's been very inconsistent. And you know, when this break ends, they're going to have four games and they're going to have the All-Star break. And then it's pedal to the metal for every NHL team, and they've got to start winning consistently. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. What they've been doing, in my view, is that they've been staying in the race, even though they're trailing the race right now. But I think that every single year that Joel Quenneville has ever coached this team, and you can check the record, they've gone on some kind of a long winning streak, which sets them up for playoff position. They had a five-game winning streak back in December, and I think a lot of people felt like, okay, here goes the streak. Here we go. And now it gets up to five, and then it ended. And then the next five games, I think the team was 0-2-3 or 0-3-2, like that. And you're just shaking your head thinking to yourself, when is this going to come together? This year is going to take, if it's going to happen, this year is going to take longer, for sure. And I think this is one of the greatest challenges to Joel Quenneville's coaching acumen. And I think he's the kind of coach that can do it. I really do. It's going to take work. It's going to take a concentration on scheme and a total commitment by this team to make it happen.
Is there some, look, nobody knows more about hockey than you do. Is there something that jumps out when... Well, there's Troy, right? Is there something that jumps out at you when you see this team night after night after night where you go, look, there's no lack of effort here. There's no lack of talent. But is there something that jumps out, whether it's line combinations or, you know, puck position or guys, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time? I mean, does anything jump out as the one central issue that you see?
From what I can see, Steve, it's a drop-off in focus. Okay, when they're a focused hockey team, okay, when they're a all hands on deck kind of a team, they're a tough team to beat, and we've seen them beat some very good teams in this league. They beat Pittsburgh twice; they're the defending Stanley Cup champion. They've beaten Winnipeg twice; that's the team at the top of the Central Division. They beat Nashville one out of three games, I believe it is, so that they can beat good teams. They've proven that they can beat good teams. Haven't beaten Vegas yet, but I think that's coming. It may not be this year, but anyway.
And, you know, we will be with you in Vegas for the Valentine's Week game.
Yeah. I've heard the promos. I think that's fantastic, and I think everybody's going to have a good time. But I really believe that what has to happen when they come back is they have got to treat this run, or the run really starting Saturday night against the Islanders, as their playoff run. They've got to start playing playoff hockey now instead of waiting until they make the playoffs, because that may not happen the way things are. They're in that group of teams that Joel Quenneville refers to as the hornet's nest, and you don't want to be in that hornet's nest, because here's what happens. As the season winds down to a close, typically those three to five teams that are battling for those final two positions, they play each other along that stretch. And then what happens is that they cannibalize each other for the points. And you just, it's so hard to gain any ground. The best way to get out of it is to go on a winning streak. And that, I think, is what really does need to happen. And it may not be like 10 straight games. Let's say maybe it's a streak of 8-1-1 that will propel them past the teams that are in front of them. Or maybe 7-1-2, something like that. Some kind of a defining stretch that gets them into a position to where, you know, they're not only playing consistently and confident in their play, but they're winning games and accruing points. So that to me is what has to happen. And I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to hopefully see signs of it here in the next little while.
John, the big story, obviously, this week has been the status of Corey Crawford. And I know there's been nothing official from the Blackhawks about it, but a lot of speculation, some reports that he's going to miss the rest of the season. That being said, Eddie Olczyk was on yesterday. He said, look, the reason the Blackhawks are in this situation isn't because Corey Crawford's out. It's really a team situation more than one individual or the goaltender. That said, what have you seen from Jeff Glass and Anton Forsberg that maybe gives you confidence as you look towards the next several weeks?
Well, I like their approach, both Forsberg and Glass. And it's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking this morning, you know, here Corey Crawford has all of these years of experience, a couple of Stanley Cups under his belt. He is the veteran goalkeeper. He's the backstopper for the Blackhawks, and he's not in. And the guys that they have collectively less than 30 games of NHL experience between them.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it really is. And both are capable guys. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, you're never going to win with this guy or you're never going to win with that guy, because I don't believe that. They've never been given a chance. I like what I've seen in Jeff Glass. Anton Forsberg has yet to show me that, you know, he's going to be a consistent NHL goalkeeper. But I can tell you this, he's a guy that has it in his pedigree, and he just needs a chance. I think if you give a guy like that a chance to take the net consistently and let him know, okay, it's your net, man, you got to get it done for us. Some guys really respond to that challenge. Whether they will or not, I can't tell. But I know that with those two guys, they're going to compete. Jeff Glass, his last game, okay, he got lit up by the Red Wings, but truthfully, I can only recount one goal in that game that was truly his fault. The rest of them were the fault of, you know, the forwards not coming back or the defenseman not playing positionally well or taking sticks away like that. Jeff Glass did his best in that game. Okay, 4-0, he got lit up. You move on. But he's going to come out, and he's going to compete every single night to try and help the Blackhawks win. I mean, every game to Jeff Glass for the Blackhawks this season is like a gift, because the guy is 32 years old. He spent his entire career in the minors or in the Continental Hockey League. And this is like manna from heaven to Jeff Glass, being able to play at the NHL level for the Blackhawks in a great city like Chicago. So I think that's what you're going to see out of the goaltenders, and we'll see if they can get it done.
Great insight, as always. Saturday night, they're back. It's the Islanders, is that right?
The New York Islanders, yeah. And the Islanders here lately, Steve, they've been giving up a lot of goals. Last night on home ice, they surrendered 5 goals to the Boston Bruins. Previous to that, they've been giving up, you know, more goals than they should. I think goaltending has been an issue there, and so we'll see which Islander team we get. Now, keep in mind, they've had the benefit of playing 2 games since their bye week ended and a couple of practices, and the Blackhawks are going to practice tonight at 4:00 at the MB Ice Arena. Open to the public, by the way, and then hopefully the morning skate tomorrow morning, and they'll be ready to go. I know they'll come out with a lot of fire in that first period, which is going to be essential.
Yeah, it's a big deal. All right, buddy, get a win. Thank you.
You got it.
All John? Right.
Thanks, John.
Good to be on with you guys. Good morning.
And good to you. John Weideman, the voice of the Chicago Blackhawks. Every game is here, along with Troy Murray on 720 WGN, your Blackhawks radio station. We come back. Andrea is going to tell people in Michigan and Iowa and Indiana and Wisconsin how you need to get registered to make sure you can vote for your state's primaries and when those primaries happen. We'll also rehash the Illinois information, too, as time allows.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's called Make America Vote Again. See what we did there? It's not MAGA. It's MAVA. Make MAGA. America vote again, because nobody shows up for the primaries and then everybody complains and they can't understand how we don't have any good candidates in the general election. You got to vote in the primary. We talked about Illinois yesterday. Have you put that note up yet?
I'm sending it to you guys, so we're going to have everything all compact. I'm going to email it to you and Mary Sandberg, and she is going to put it up on the website.
You'll do that today?
Yep.
Okay.
It's all ready to go.
So today at WGNradio.com, and we'll also post it on social on Twitter at Cochran Show and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, how to register and when your primary is in Illinois and around the Midwest. How about Iowa?
All right. Illinois yesterday we said was March 20th, so we'll go in alphabetical order, and we will go let's do Indiana first, because that's
Indiana.
The next primary. Then that'll be May 8th. Now, how to register to vote in Indiana, U.S. citizen, permanent resident of the state, you're at least 18 years old or will be on or before the date of the election. They don't have the 17-year-old rule like we do here in Illinois. You have to have been in your precinct for at least 30 days before the election, and you do not have a felony conviction. Very easy for all of these, Steve. To register to vote in Indiana, you can go to their online voter registration page, in person as well. You can just go to dmv.org/Indiana. That'll take you right to how to register online.
And all these links will be in the document Andrea's going to post today.
That's right.
Iowa.
Let's go to Iowa, and their primary is June 5th. You must pre-register to vote at least 10 days before the primary and general elections, at least 11 days before all other elections. You can register to vote by mail or in person. You have to take a little poll online as well. Same requirements. Again, you have to be 18 years old, no felony convictions, be a U.S. citizen. They do have the 17-and-a-half-year-old rule. Again, though, you have to be 18 by the general election. You can't be registered to vote in any other state. That's, again, dmv.org/Iowa. Many of these, you can just do it right online or go to the DMV. That's the easiest way to do it as well. Moving on to
Michigan.
Their primary, August 7th. This has to be 30 days before the election. You have to be registered to vote. Again, very easy to do it. You can register by mail, be a U.S. citizen, at least 18 years old, not currently in prison for a felony offense. And for all of these, Steve, you have to bring two forms of identification to register to vote. If you're going to do it online, you have to have the numbers of your driver's license, passport, military ID, or your student identification card. That's dmv.org/Michigan. And on to Wisconsin. That's August 14th. Very same requirements as well. You can also, in Wisconsin, require the day of the election at your polling location. So that's very easy. You have to be at least 18 years old, live at your current residence for 10 days, register to vote. This website is wisconsinvote.org.
And all of this will be in a document we will post today, and you'll be able to follow along as we continue to urge you to make America vote again.
And can I just say, we've just given all this information out. This is so easy to do. It will take you less than a minute to go online, get the information. Most of these, or if not all, you can do online.
Well, we are absolutely eliminating the excuses, because you're going to give them the cheat sheet.
That's right.
Yes, so, give them the cheat sheet.
We'll take a break, come back. CLTV will join us next. Busy 9 o'clock hour for a Friday coming up on 720 WGN.
Leave in Chicago, gonna take my show, WGN to Nevada. The first time to visit in the city of sin since the day I became a granddadda.
A granddadda.
There's a game between the Blackhawks and the new Golden Knights. I know we're going golfing when we land from our flights. The Cochran temp is hot and the sun will be bright.
Come on, sing it!
Steve, Las Vegas.
Higher!
Steve, Las Vegas.
Hit that note now.
Steve, Las Vegas.
Oh, you think it's easy? You try to hit that note. John DeCoste, the musical stylings of John DeCoste for the big Steve, Las Vegas shows we're going to be doing from Las Vegas and bringing some people there. I'm apparently going to renew the vows of at least one couple.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
They're going to do it?
Oh, they're going to be there.
Yes.
I got to find the email.
So am I the witness / flower girl / maid of honor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if the couple fights, you may be the bride.
Okay. There we go.
So,
I'll be ready.
And we'll probably do that on Wednesday morning on the Cochran Show. Pete's going to work Tuesday and Wednesday morning, which is the 14th.
14th, Valentine's Day.
13th and 14th.
Yeah.
And 13th, we'll be traveling
14th will be traveling.
14th will be traveling. Why am I not on the 13th?
I don't know. You're stuck on the 13th. We're leaving on the 12th. The game is on the 13th.
Where are we going?
Blackhawks game. Going to Vegas. And then the 14th, you're renewing the vows. It's Valentine's Day, and then we come home.
All right, so the morning of the 13th, Pete will be on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Where am I going to be?
We'll be joining Pete. We'll be talking to Pete.
Okay.
Okay.
But then the morning
after
of the,
we go to the buffet.
But the morning of the 14th, we'll do a couple hours of the show with Pete.
Yes.
I got it. Okay.
Okay.
And the night
sure
of the 13th,
or?
Not a chance.
Okay.
And the night of the 13th, we'll be live at the arena.
Yes, with Justin Kaufman. Leading up to the Blackhawks.
90-minute run up to the pregame.
Right. And we are going to see the Hawks play hockey in Vegas.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
And see the Hawks win. That's all coming up. So you and your friend, whomever that may be, will be able to join us in Las Vegas. We'll get you out there. We'll get you in a nice hotel. Not one of those flea bag dumps that some of the other stations will throw you. Mm-hmm. And you'll get tickets to the game. And it'll be a fine time had by all. Yes. And John will sing to you.
Yes.
So that's coming up, and the only way to do it is to win it, and the way to win it is to send us a snapshot of why you should be chosen as the ultimate Hawks fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's you nuts for the Blackhawks.
Those pictures are hilarious. Somehow I'm in some guy's picture. I'm not kidding you. I was looking through all the pictures. I thought, oh, these are great because there's weddings.
One of those stalker shrine things?
I don't know. It's me and the guy, and I thought, I don't remember taking that. But that, then, of course, I remembered. I thought, what a great picture. I hope
How drunk were you when that picture was taken?
No, this was when we were at the game with David Hochberg.
So you say. Upload a photo showing your Blackhawks fan craziness at WGNradio.com/contest. If you think you're the ultimate Blackhawks fan, you could win that trip. Trip for two to Vegas, see the Blackhawks and the Golden Knights. Upload a photo and join us if you're the big winner. So it's going to be great, right? So get those in. Again, it's WGNradio.com/contest. All right, we're going to play the match game. Should we do that here?
Yeah.
Let's go to Joe on this. So we have a guest coming up here in a few minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to do it here then. All right, so you got the match game music? All right, Joe, whenever you're ready, roll it. Match game is an American tradition. It goes back to the Middle Ages. And eventually a guy named Gene Rayburn hosted the match game in the 70s. Gene was known for a couple things, being creepy and having a super long microphone. John DeCoste has come along since then. He's just as creepy, but his microphone's smaller.
It's a pen.
What? Yes. Let me ask you, Andrew, when it comes to microphones, does size matter?
I would say no.
Okay.
That's why I love her.
That's right.
So all the celebrities will answer a John question with a blank in it. We simply need to fill the blank. The most celebrity matches with the contestant that you're going to be one of those. If you call now, 312-981-7200. We need two contestants to play the match game. 312-981-7200. And we'll give away tickets to tomorrow night's show, and we have some other prizes as well. Where are we tomorrow night?
We are at the Metropolis Theater, downtown Arlington Heights. You, myself, Uncle Air, Larry Reeb, and Tim Banker. You can get your tickets at metropolisarts.com or call the box office directly at 847-577-2121.
And as always, it's an Iceman, White Lightning, Wang Dang Doodle production.
White Lightning. By the way, I have some friends who are going to be at the Women's March, and then they're going to come see the comedy show tomorrow.
Oh, that's
night,
wonderful.
A whole day of fun.
Because Steve and I will also, we're not actually going to the Women's March.
No, but you'll be there in spirit.
Are you covering that tomorrow?
I am for Channel 9, yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Are they expecting numbers even close to last year?
Remember last year they thought 75,000 people. They had 250,000, and they're expecting this year to be right around that number.
Wow, that'd be impressive.
And that whole group is coming to the show?
Yeah, is there enough seats?
I don't think so.
They're
going to
stand outside. They thought you guys could come outside.
I have to make a call now.
I got Manfredini out there with a hammer. He's doing an expansion. Lorraine's in Burbank. Good morning, Lorraine.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
What do you mean pretty good? What's the problem?
No, I'm just waiting for somebody to pick me up. We're going out for breakfast, so we got to get going here.
Where are we going?
Sorry.
Just got plans. Sorry. Let's go.
Lorraine, where are we going? Where are we going for breakfast?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I'm going to ask my friend wherever she wants to go.
Are you going
to
text me so I know where to meet you?
No.
So I'm not
a married woman.
Well, I'm just having breakfast, Hansy. I'm not telling you. Settle down, Lorraine.
Okay.
All right, so let's go ahead and fill in the blank. Don't give us your answer until John says it's okay. John, what's the question?
Here we go, Lorraine. John DeCause is so dumb, he thinks his dog is illegal because it's a blank.
John DeCause is so dumb.
He thinks his dog is illegal because it's a blank.
Because it's a blank.
Right.
What?
Okay. I have my answer, and I am locked in. Nothing yet, Lorraine. Hold
okay.
on.
Yeah, hang on. Okay. Hang on. Dave, you're okay? You're all right? Dave is he's laughing.
No, and, I just realized I don't even know what kind of dog you have.
So that's all right. Andrea, you are ready?
Ready
yes.
to go?
Joe is ready. Mary upstairs. What?
I'm confused.
Mary upstairs. What?
Sandberg, think about your answer as you come to the microphone. John DeCause is so dumb, he thinks his dog is illegal.
Because it's a blank.
Because
oh,
it's
you think your dog
I
is illegal.
My dog is
I
illegal.
Thought the dog thing. Okay, I don't have an answer.
Okay, everybody ready?
Wow, yes.
Everybody ready?
Let's
okay.
Give, let's give yeah. Dave an opportunity here
oh,
to catch up.
Okay.
okay. John DeCause.
Show ends at 10, Dave.
Dumb.
You said that
I'm
about
ready.
Andrea before.
I'm ready too. And
thinks his dog is illegal.
Yes.
Because
and Lorraine's got to go to breakfast.
Yes, let's go.
The hell, everybody's holding
here we go.
Lorraine.
Lorraine, what is your answer?
My answer is because it's a beagle. Illegal beagle.
And very good. Beagle. Very good. Oh, I will. That's a good answer, Lorraine. Let's start with Dave. Since
I said dog because technically that's a match.
Her dog's a dog? Okay, I have risen
the
in the ranks.
What the hell are you talking about?
I have risen in the ranks of this game.
No, a beagle is a dog, so we have a match.
No, hold on. The question...
The question was,
the dog is illegal because it's a blank. The dog's illegal because it's a dog? Why is the dog illegal because it's a
no,
dog?
No, John is...
That's the worst answer ever.
It is the worst answer ever.
I think he means dog in the sense of like a bad guy.
No.
Repeat the clue.
Oh, no. Lorraine's got to go. Come on.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yes, Andrea.
The obvious answer, a chihuahua.
Oh, okay. Very
that's
good.
Good. That's very good.
That is good.
That's good. I actually said French poodle, but also a foreigner.
Okay, yes. Okay. Yes. Mary Sandberg.
Here we go.
I said because it's fake ID.
Because it's
okay,
fake
Dave
ID.
And Mary?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yes, Joe.
Because your clue was so clear.
Do you think if you raise the temperature in your bedroom at night, your answers might be better?
Yes.
I
Joe.
Am no longer the worst player, by the way.
Yeah, not a drug sniffing dog, but a drug taking dog. A drug taking dog.
Oh, drug taking dog.
That's
okay,
good.
That is good. That is good.
It's good.
Yeah. And then Mary up on the seventh floor.
Yeah, I said alien.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
Well, yeah.
Except it's not entertaining, but it's the same thing.
Don't worry about it, Lorraine. We're all winners here.
Now, we have three dog answers. So would three dogs equal one beagle?
Three dog night, yes. I'll
all right,
give
so
it.
We're going to give you one point, Lorraine.
See, so now you're not laughing anymore.
No, it's going to be great to see if Dave's answer could possibly be worse than his last
worst
one.
Worst answer ever.
Hey, Chris.
Yes?
Where are we going to breakfast?
Pancakes,
etc. All right, so I'll see you
good.
Soon.
I like
all
that.
All right, so John, let's go with the question.
Okay, Chris, here we go. Tribune Tower has an express elevator on the top floor. You get down quickly because the elevator doesn't have a blank.
Express elevator top to bottom. Now, keep in mind, when John writes these questions, he has to have an answer in his head.
Yeah.
You get down quickly because the elevator doesn't have
And I was immediately thinking, what kind of dog do I have? It's a beagle.
Okay, the clue made no sense, John.
I
Sorry.
Agree.
Thanks, Mayor.
That's a good one.
Can we bring back Gene Rayburn?
Yes, I'm okay with that.
I think he's still dead.
Tribune Tower has an express elevator on the top floor. You get down quickly because the elevator doesn't have a blank.
Everybody locked in?
Yep. Everybody locked in? Yes?
Yep.
Let's start with Joe in the booth.
Well, you gotta get Chris's answer.
Chris. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
God, why do I do that all the time?
Oh,
sorry, Chris.
Chris, what's
sorry,
your answer?
I was thinking about et cetera. Yeah, go ahead.
Because the elevator doesn't have a floor.
Very good. Very good. Joe.
Emergency brake. It doesn't have an emergency brake.
Very good, Joe. Dave?
Floor.
Floor's good, yes.
Shaft.
Woo. Shaft?
I said shaft.
Shaft?
Floor.
Who are you talking about? Don't talk about shaft.
Floor.
Floor?
I said button.
Oh, button.
You
didn't
want to say button.
Yeah, how would you get to stop if it doesn't
actually,
have a button?
Okay, dog.
Just having her say button
dog
is worth the whole thing.
2 points for
yes.
Chris already.
Perfect.
Mary Vandeveld, what'd you write?
I had the shaft.
Okay. Well, that's personal. Listen, Chris, you're a big winner.
Oh, my goodness.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to get you tickets. We're going to give Lorraine tickets tomorrow night's show anyway. She doesn't want to go because she thinks I'm going to breakfast with her.
That's right.
But if Lorraine wants to go, we can find tickets for her as well. Either way, we have prizes off the prize list, including Lou Malnati's Pizza and App gift cards.
Say, 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 hey, hey now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, mama, don't play now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey now, baby.
My favorite match game moment ever. Well, it's a different kind of Friday here because we have a meteorite in the studio. We were struck just moments ago. Apparently it hit Dave in the head just before we started playing
all
match
right.
game.
Enough already.
Jim Holstein's here. Jim, how are you?
Great, fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show today, Steve.
Thank you for coming in. Jim, you're from where?
Field Museum. I am a collection manager of physical geology and meteorites.
You know, I told Andre the other day, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a geologist.
Yeah.
Did you have the same dream?
I grew up in the city, and I would walk around the city streets going to school, picking up rocks and little pieces of debris on the ground.
Did you have a rock spinner?
I did not have a rock spinner, other than the dryer. My mother would have to clean out my pants every night and end up in the dryer when she would do the
laundry.
Oh,
that's nice for the dryer, right?
Oh, clunk. She was so mad at me.
I remember I got a rock spinner for Christmas once, and I thought it was the coolest gift. And then I got out of science and got into show business, and I've been kind of a slacker ever since.
There's a fine line between the two, Steve.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Absolutely.
Now, do you know Jim?
I do. Yeah, we've just communicated over the years. It's the first time I think we've ever met in person.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We've done a couple of things together in the past.
You've been 20 years, you said.
20 years at the Field Museum.
So we started around the same time. But you always bring in cool toys.
Ah, it's a fun place to work.
He brings in neat things.
For those of you who are paying attention, you noticed a couple of nights ago there was a meteor that re-entered the atmosphere somewhere over Michigan and created a small earthquake.
That's right. That was from the shockwave. It exploded in the atmosphere going about 20,000 plus miles per hour.
And do we know how big it was?
No idea yet. But it's probably smaller than the Park Forest meteorite that hit the southwest suburbs in 2003.
And what did we estimate the size of that to be?
Oh, about the size of a small car.
Okay, well, that's pretty good size.
Mm-hmm. I have a crazy question. Now, we saw this one, you know, from the dash cam, and there was a smaller one in Indiana, but apparently meteors happen all the time. It's just our ability to see them. What gives us the ability to see them as opposed to, you know, when they happen all the time when we don't see them?
Okay, so basically they fall every day. Most of them are dust-sized particles. Sometimes they're going to be much larger. The event that you saw on Tuesday night is probably once, twice, maybe three times a year event. And typically they burn up in the atmosphere. They typically land in the ocean because they're 70% water. But when it does happen over land, they leave these, they create these huge streaks, these fireballs that can be visible from hundreds of miles away. So the one that enter the atmosphere over Michigan, you can actually see the fireball from this part of the country.
What is it about the atmosphere that creates that entrail, that fireball?
It's the pressure and the friction. These things are going over 20,000 miles per hour.
So is it similar to the old Apollo rockets returning, that sort of thing?
Same principle, except that the pressure builds up in front of these objects to the point where the objects actually explode, creating these huge shock waves. And the meteor I brought today was one that exploded over Russia in 2013.
Well, speaking of dash cams, we know that every car in Russia has a dash cam.
Yeah,
that's right.
And if you guys remember this, the amazing photography in 2013 as this meteorite re-entered Earth's atmosphere. It was actually in the daytime.
It was during the morning commute.
Yeah.
So it's very rare that you can see one of these during
the day. But it was like an atomic bomb going off.
It literally was like an atomic bomb going up and off in the atmosphere. And that created about 1,500 casualties. I mean, it was far short of a massacre, but it was still 1,500 casualties.
Well, they were referring to it as a blast zone.
It was a blast zone. And these explode about 80 miles up in the atmosphere, and the shockwave comes traveling down at supersonic speeds. Glass was broken. The main mass of it actually landed in a lake, a frozen lake.
Wow.
And how big was that one?
That was about maybe 3 feet in diameter.
Just 3 feet?
Yeah, and it created this huge crater in the middle of the ice. It was about 20 feet across. So people were originally speculating that this might have been from ice fishermen. I'm from the Midwest. Ice fishermen do not make 20-foot wide holes to fish out. This was an impact.
But physics is what physics is.
Physics is what physics is. And they went back over the summer with a dive team, and they went into the water. They were able to extract it.
You brought a piece of this. Can you pass it around?
I will pass it around.
This is actually a piece of the Russian meteor.
All right, so touch it without gloves?
Okay.
All right, so let's talk.
We don't touch these without gloves, but we'll get a good cleaning when we're done.
Oh, nice.
But let's talk about what they are and where they come from.
Okay, so first, what does it look like to you?
Looks like a piece of charcoal.
Piece of charcoal, actually, like a charcoal briquette, about the same size as that. So this happens in the atmosphere when it enters under high heat. So that actually melts the crust. It's called the fusion crust. So the immediate outside of the meteorite is actually burnt off. And these things, like I said, when they're a huge, one big mass, they explode in the atmosphere, and then the individual pieces burn and fall apart, and then they also burn and create a fusion.
This came off a larger piece of something very similar, where it was equivalent content of whatever this is throughout the piece?
So, exactly. And this is what makes these things really interesting.
Because they're not all made of the same thing, correct?
No, there are a whole bunch of different types of meteorites, and this is why the science is so fascinating, because they tell us a lot about different planetary bodies in space.
It's so cool.
No, this is the one that Bruce Willis was writing.
It's a little heavier than I expected it to be.
That's an excellent point, because these types of meteorites, these ordinary chondrites, which are the most common types of meteorites, they have a high degree of iron nickel inside of them. So what you're feeling, the weight you're feeling, is the iron content within that meteorite. A comparably sized Earth rock is going to be a lighter mass.
So the majority of meteorites that are flying around the atmosphere, and we're talking about trillions, I would assume, not just our atmosphere, but around space.
So these are typically from the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, and they get knocked out of their orbit, and that's how they become Earth-crossing.
Yeah, that's super dense. It's amazing how heavy that is. Mm-hmm.
And they also come from two other planetary bodies. Can you guess which ones they are?
They break off from two other planetary bodies.
Mars is one.
Well, Mars and Venus?
Nope.
Jupiter?
Closer than Mars and Venus.
Mercury.
Another M word.
Moon.
Oh, the
there
moon.
You go. That's
Whoa.
It.
Sure.
So the three confirmed places, asteroid belt, Mars, and the moon.
So why would it break off from the moon?
Something large hits the moon, knocks a piece off of it. That floats
around. How often does that happen? We're in the moon.
Oh, we have no idea how long that happens. But you can see the history of these impacts on the surface of the moon.
Sure.
The moon has less geology than the Earth does.
Recorded history, is a speck on the behind of space life. Are we just lucky? In other words, did we just happen to be living in a time where we're not getting whacked by the meteor that took out the dinosaurs, according to some scientists? No, all don't agree now.
It's mostly agreed upon that an asteroid did cause the extinction of dinosaurs.
But is it luck?
Is it luck? Yeah, it's pure luck. I mean, basically, this is a...
It could end tomorrow.
It can. And so there's a program to identify these objects which can potentially hit the Earth. So the dinosaur killer, that's considered a once in a 100 million year event.
And this is the reason, and I gripe about this all the time, but this is the reason why not just space travel and space exploration, but space funding is so important.
Absolutely.
Because the program you're talking about needs to be funded so we can literally have a sense of what's coming our way.
Exactly. And about 90% of objects larger than 1 kilometer has been identified and their orbits calculated. But there's still a lot of work to be done on the smaller objects, which can destroy a city.
The obvious question is, let's say we know one's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Put your head between your knees and kiss it goodbye? What do we do?
Basically, we have the theoretical knowledge to do something about it. Whether or not we're able to do something about it is another story altogether.
Do I understand it correctly? You probably have to kill me if you tell me. We fire a nuke at it to knock it off its path?
So you've seen the movie Armageddon, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the science in there was somewhat accurate. So hitting it with a nuke... The thing is traveling super, super fast, a huge, large mass. That contains a lot of energy. So any energy you throw at it is going to be absorbed. So you're going to have to do something a little bit
could be a big old bomb.
Sometimes. If you have like a long time, years, for example, you can theoretically go onto this body, put ion drives on there, which are these very low energy use drives that are used on space probes, and you give yourself enough time to put these drives on there to kind of push it.
Slowly, steer it away.
It doesn't take much to get it out of the path of the Earth.
Holy cow. Yeah.
And that's why the research is so important, so we understand how to do that.
Exactly.
Because we don't want people to die. You know, Bruce Willis died. I don't know if you know that.
It was wonderful. You can hear more about this, too. It's Museum Week, which Museum starts Week? Today, and it goes through next week.
Through next Friday.
And so, that means many of the museums are offering free admission.
So there's 12 partner museums, and some of them are offering free admission. Some are offering reduced admissions.
Right.
How about you guys?
We're doing $2 off
That's good.
How about that? And you can take advantage of some of the programs. I know you're going to be part of the Water, Earth, and Sky program in conjunction. Yeah, with the Shed, the Adler, and the Field. So that's pretty cool. You can, it's kind of a three-in-one.
Within this piece of this meteor that hit Russia is the secret of why Trump won't criticize Putin. It's right in here. It's in this rock.
I want to picture you with that.
And we have pieces of that at the Field Museum. You can see that today and throughout next week.
That's awesome.
And also come and see Sue before she goes off display.
Wait, yeah, what's going on?
She's retiring.
Temporarily. February 5th, she goes off display.
But
she's being moved into a new room.
Okay.
And we're getting this huge titanosaur, which is a long-necked, long-tailed dinosaur, in her place. So Sue will be off display until March of 2019. But you can see the construction as it's being done with a little window. So, but come see Sue before she goes away in 2 weeks.
You got a cool job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, websites.
ChicagoMuseumWeek.com.
ChicagoMuseumWeek.com. One of the best museum cities in the world. Absolutely. We take it for granted, and we shouldn't. So thanks for being here, and thanks for giving me valuable artifacts that I won't give back to you.
My pleasure.
And we'll take a break, come back, and the headlines next on 720 WGN. You know what that music means? Anyone? Anyone?
Paul Conrad.
That's right, Paul Conrad. That's the love theme from Paul Conrad. Paul Conrad standing by now at Channel 9. And how are you, Paul? Great, me too. So that's how you feel?
Paul.
Well, you got to be careful. You shouldn't talk like that on the show. Everyone else is hearing him, right?
Well, I'm not. Are you?
Did you tell me he was on the weather control situation?
Is this any better?
No, that's it. That's
there it.
That was Hold on a second.
No, you're good now.
I'm going to have to jiggle some things here.
You're good now. You're on a completely different selector, as we
All
call
right.
them.
Here I am.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
I was complimenting you on the air and off the air. And I've said this to you before, publicly and privately. I love the Friday Weather Kid.
They're the best.
The Friday Weather Kid is where Paul takes a kid, teaches him how to do the weather, which, you know, let's be honest, a monkey could do it.
Right. It's a three-minute thing.
And the cute little kid does the weather while you slack off and hit the desk for a little snoot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. I tell you what, it encourages my soul.
They're just great
nice
kids. They're great kids. They're great kids. And the thing we're always most amused by, it's just cute, is the kids have no idea what to do with their hands.
Yeah.
It's always a hands thing.
Yeah. Right. You don't know where to put them.
Yeah. You struggle with that, don't you?
I do. I've gone lately to putting them in my pockets.
Yeah. I think that's strong.
It seems
that's strong. That's a strong move.
It seems casual and yet also,
and yet uptight.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, casual and yet really uptight.
Right.
So we keep hearing about this Pat Tomasulo show.
Yeah, isn't that exciting?
But it's Saturday nights at 10?
Saturday nights on WGN at 10 o'clock.
Now, we like Pat. Do you like Pat?
Yeah, I love Pat.
Pat's a funny guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Hmm. But he's a funny, funny guy.
Yeah, he's funny. I think he's nice, too. But I understand some people think he's not so nice.
Mm.
My experience with him is he's a nice, good guy.
Yeah, mine's not.
Really?
No. Kidding, of course. He is a really good guy. He's a really good guy.
He's very good. And I don't think he shows enough of that goodness on TV.
So you're saying when you watch Man of the People with Pat Tomasulo starting tomorrow night on Channel 9 at 10 o'clock, you're going to see the softer side of Pat?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think you are. You
so
may.
At all.
I've not seen anything about the show.
Yes, I just wish that you people would promote it.
I know. That is one thing we've been lacking, is we've got to get behind it a little bit more strongly.
You know, there's been a lot of promotional announcements on. The Victory Auto Records guy goes, hey, cut back.
Right. Yeah.
That's how you know.
It's everywhere.
It's a lot. So are you pulling for the show?
I am. Yeah. You know, we don't do very much new local, you know,
nobody does. We salute Paul Rennie for spending the money on this.
Right. I'm excited. I'm like, this is good. We need to do more local stuff. We don't need more crap from New York or Los Angeles. Let's get some stuff done here.
Now, Andrea and Dave, of course, are on Channel 9 many, many weekends and during the week as
both
well.
Yeah.
They were both saying there's a lot of viciousness and jealousy in the hallways. Is that true?
I never said that.
Very.
No, but there's a long line leading into the hallway. Well, men, women, children, all people, waiting to meet Paul Conrad.
Yeah, that is true also.
We thought it was for Skilling.
Yeah.
It's Conrad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
but that's Andrea trying to change the topic from the vicious jealousy
that's
going on over Pat Tomasulo's show. So who is most bitter about Pat having a show?
Ooh, I'm going to say maybe Robin.
All right.
She festers in anger as it is.
Right. And she wants to have her own singing thing, right?
She'd like to have her own sing and dance kind of variety show. And she's been pushing forever.
I've been told, now you correct me if I'm wrong, I've been told that Robin Baumgartner, Frozen Glosh and Farvik Nugent, that she wants to have her own 30-minute dance show, dancing and singing, where she would be the only performer and the only judge.
Yeah. And dancing, singing, and some tumbling.
Oh, tumbling,
she's
too.
She's trying to work in also like cartwheels, somersaults, you know, stuff like that, which I'm like, listen, you barely can get going on the singing, dancing thing. The tumbling is going to blow the whole thing. I've been telling her, take that out of your pitch. When you go into Randy's office, don't tell him you want the tumbling. But she, and this is why
she won't listen.
It will never get on the air.
She won't listen. She's unreasonable.
Right. And Larry wants to do some trampoline show, which I understand.
You talking about Potash or Wirt?
Potash. I don't know what Wirt wants. But Potash wants like a trampoline on the North Shore, and it's a bad idea, which is why we'll never see the light of day.
Well, I mean, don't be so judgmental, because honestly, the original thing I heard from Larry Potash is he wants to jump 3 times on a trampoline, and then he flies off the trampoline, and he lands in a pile of his own money. Is that accurate?
All right, well, now I'd watch that once.
Yes.
But I don't know how you sustain that. You know, you can take, it's like Evel Knievel when he would, you know, make everyone wait forever for it finally jump. But then once you've done the jump, then what do you do?
Yeah, it's over then. Hey, speaking of that, you interested in this Winter Olympics at all?
No.
I don't know. There's some new events.
These are to spice it up.
They have new events. These are actual new events at the Winter Olympics. The men and women ski half pipe.
Is the half pipe where they ski and then they shoot?
Half pipe is like that half wall.
It's like you go up a half. Yeah. It's like with
the freestyle.
It's a tube.
The snowboarders do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they were to like have paintballers, you know, and the paintballers have to shoot at the downhill hikers or something, right?
I like that.
And then you put some like wild animals in the downhill slalom, right?
Like hungry wolves.
Right, and a rhinoceros or something. Now I'd watch that, right?
That would be good.
Can you imagine if they
had the ice skating part of the thing? I'd watch. Throw like a wild animal on there.
What
right?
if they had that for the Kerrigan-Harding thing?
Right. Put a seal or a walrus.
What about
or
a polar bear?
A polar bear, yeah. Put 3 of them out there, and then you make the ice skaters skate with like a pound of meat around their neck.
Huh?
What
about that?
Mm-hmm. And then you've got something to watch.
It's not bad.
Otherwise, it's all too predictable. We know how it's going to end.
Well, there's a couple other issues. Slipping and giggling, where people slip on the ice and others giggle. That's not an event.
We do that in our parking lot.
That's not an event.
Right.
Stuck races, where cars are stuck in the snow and you have to push them out. That's not an event.
No. That's called the Dan Ryan in winter.
Paul's idea is great.
They are great. Yeah. Maybe light some things on fire also.
The 100-meter rabid wolverine dash.
Yeah.
Where you're chased through woods by a rabid wolverine.
Yeah, and maybe you put some clowns in the woods, you know, and they're sitting in trees, and then they jump out and scare you, or they're blowing
fantastic.
Up balloon puppets, something, right?
I think it would be neat to see you two try some of these events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hey, I'm game.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Well, we could do the laying down part of the biathlon, where you lay down and shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Like if we didn't have to ski, but we laid down and someone handed us a rifle.
That'd be fun.
And the sport would be watching you guys try to get up.
Yeah.
Well, we'd have a second. The one that handed us a gun would help us up.
Oh, there you go. Right. Like, you're like grab my hand, pull.
Yeah,
there you
maybe
go.
Get a couple people out there first.
I'd like to see you guys going down the luge.
Yeah. Now, the luge, I think, is exciting.
Well, no, that would have to be the bobsled because the luge is single.
Ah, we can fit. We'll both get on the
You can
thing.
Do a bobsled together.
I'll go down on the bottom part
luge.
First. You can be on top, Steve.
Right.
And then we'll
switch
it around. I'll ride on top. And we can do it one time feet first, one time face first.
Sure.
Let's have some fun with this stuff.
Sure.
That would be more entertaining. Let's pull some fans out of the stands and make them ride that thing down, and maybe you get some points, you know, from your fans, right? Like have a fan competition along with it.
And
but
mandatory
there can be no training.
And Paul, for a long time, has advocated mandatory beer night for all fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not free beer night, mandatory beer night.
Otherwise, again, it's the boring Olympics.
All right. Well, I think we've solved a lot of problems. Good luck tomorrow night to Phil Tomasulo.
All right.
And man of the people.
All right. I love you. I'll see you when I get home.
All right. See you.
Oh.
It's never not awkward. Back with Bill and Wendy coming up.
Chicago's Conversation.
Learn something new on 720 WGN.
Time now for a little something I like to call the Bill and Wendy Show, because that's the name of their show. Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
What are you guys doing today?
Well, having a hell of a time.
What if, this is hypothetical, Steve, but yes. What if the government were to actually shut down? Is that good news or bad news?
Oh, that's crazy.
Is it
talk.
Working?
Paul, it's crazy talk. It would never happen.
It'd be better news. We don't know. Paul Lisnick will be on 10:35 to discuss that with us.
So, are you for a shutdown?
I don't
Who
think it'll
you got
matter.
In the pool? Do you have shutdown or no shutdown?
I think shutdown.
Shutdown? That's
yeah,
your, that's your
shut
pick?
Down.
I'll take the other one.
You're saying no
Steve
shutdown.
Steve seemed to indicate, and he'll be talking about this in the news in just seconds, seemed to indicate it's not going well.
No, they're not even talking no, at this no. point.
But the funny thing is Trump can't go to Mar-a-Lago until they come to a decision. Somebody, J.C. General Kelly grounding him? No. Get away from Air Force One. No. Donald, no.
Go to your room and think about what you've done.
Take away his phone to ground him. That would be a good idea.
Oh, he's going
to
have extra Tweety time today, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, more Tweety time. Have a great weekend, everybody. Hope to see you tomorrow night. Still a couple of tickets left for the Cochran Comedy Tour at the Metropolis in Arlington Heights. As always, it's a Wang Dang Duel Iceman situation production.
Break all your legs.
Lightning. We'll break all of our legs. And 847-577-2121 or MetropolisArts.com. See you Monday.